ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణు పాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజాచార్య స్తోత్ర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి ఆనంద గౌడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి రామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి స్వయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరి భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామ గుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయాపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమ ఓం గ్లోరీ శ్రీ సుమతి ఓం గ్లోరీ శ్రీ సుమతి ఓం గ్లోరీ శ్రీ సుమతి ఓం గ్లోరీ ఓం గ్లోరీ శ్రీ శ్రీ సుమతి ఓం గ్లోరీ శ్రీ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద నమః శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూగలేశమది భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి గౌరవాణి ప్రజా విశేష శూన్యవాది
హరి బో హరే కృష్ణ
శ్రీవర్షపానమి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాగ్రహే
కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానందామినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమో నమస్తే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనకారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావస్థితాంగద్వాంగహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రదంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయనే నమః. నమో భక్తి విరమలాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామిని గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ గురుణానుగవరాయడే గౌరవ భూమేస్తు నిర్దేశాస్తు జనప్రియ వైష్ణవ సంభూమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ పంచకల్పరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పదినానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయనే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్త రూప స్వరూపకం పదావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాఖ్యం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధౌ దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. జయం సురదో భంగో మమాంగమలేర్గరి మత్సవసువదాంబోజో రాధావదనమోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమోదర శ్రీమన్మరత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్మరాధాశీలగోవిందదేవో ప్రశాళి సేవ్యమానో స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్మరాసరసాదన్యీ వంశీవటతస్థితా ప్రశంసేతుస్వనేర్గోపే గోవినాభాశ్రయేస్తునః. సప్తకాంతృణగౌరాంగే రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానర్పణే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునీనాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే గురారవిందాయ నమత్రనేత్ర ఎన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణై జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతమిహే నమః. గోవంశగో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్సు సుదీర్ఘోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుతం దేవం వత్సజామిరమదనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. ఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనామోదితం లోకైసల్పతైరహరీయమానం ముదా మనసా పశ్యంతి యోగినో యస్యాసం విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై.
We have started. started this chapter, where first thing Krishna spoke about the importance of this chapter, did he not? In the first verse itself, what did he say? Jnananam jnanamuttama. Knowledge of all the knowledge, Krishna says. Jnananam jnanamuttama. That is how he started this chapter. Parambhuya pravakshami jnananam jnanamuttama. The best of all, he says. And what is the result of realizing this? Krishna is saying in the next verse that mama sadharmyam agada, they become like me. All the qualities in Krishna manifest in a person who realizes this knowledge. That is what he says there, isn't it? Mama sadharmyam agada, like me they become. Mama sadharmyam agada. Idam jnana upashatya mama sadharmyam agada. That was the benefit of this chapter. Krishna said that in the second verse. Then, from there, Krishna started talking about, because in the last chapter what was discussed was Kshetram, Kshetrajna, Samyogam. Kshetram and Kshetrajna together, isn't it? So in this chapter, Krishna is saying here, how Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Samyogam has become the cause of the birth of living entities. How this happens. That's what he begins in the next verse. So when he started saying there, Mama Yonyam Mahal Brahmam, Tasmin garbham dadamyaham. I am the person who impregnates Mahabrahmam, from there living entities are born. When Krishna impregnates the Mahabrahmam, living entities are born. That is the explanation to that. Tasmin garbham dadamyaham. How kshetra kshetrajna vibhagam, that samyogam, how Kshetram and Kshetrajnan combine together and living entities are born, that was the last chapter. How that Samyogam happens, that means the spirit, which is Krishna, how it comes into contact with the matter, Brahmam. Brahmam includes everything, pattern with everything. Mahal Brahmam and Purusha come together. Mama Yonir Mahal Brahmam. Tasmin garbham dadamyaham. I give birth there, Krishna is saying there. Impregnation, in other words. Tasmin garbham dadamyaham, he says there. And with the result of that, sambhav sarvabhudanam, all living entities are born. He mentions that. That is the most, one line is important in all those verses. First verse is jnananam jnanamuttamam. That conveys the message of the whole verse. In second verse, mama sadharmyam agada. That's the most important thing, that by realizing this knowledge, they have all the qualities what I have, Krishna is saying. Mama sadharma magara, they become like me, he says. Then, in the third verse, he is saying that tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. Tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. That I enter into Brahman, that means that Prakriti, into her, Purusha enters. Alma, soul, enters into Prakriti and from there birth takes place. But, next verse is more important, he says, Sarva yonisha kaunteya mutaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahad yoni aham bija padapida. Brahmam is the yoni, I am the father. I am the father, Brahmam is the yoni, womb. In Brahmam, I enter, aham bija pratapida, I am the seed giving father. I am the seed, and that seed enters into the yoni, and then living entities comes from that. Tasam, in the last two words Krishna mentioned, tasmin garbham dadamyaham. I impregnate them with the chaitanyam, or the living force, into that. And next verse, Krishna, there, tasmin garbham dadamiham is important. And in this, aham bija padapida. I am, Krishna says, I am that seed-giving father. Aham bija padapida. If I don't enter, this will not happen. Aham bija padapida. Then, after saying that, we have seen all these verses. Then in the fifth verse, Krishna mentioned there, that when I enter into that Brahmam, something happens there. What is that? The three modes of material nature comes in. And that is what he said. Guna sattum rajastamaiti guna prakriti sambhava Nibadhanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyayam. That means this three modes, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa, they come from the Prakriti. It is in the Prakriti, not in me. But when I enter into them, this Prakriti enters into those seeds, what as I have impregnated with, and then they become, then we get these modes of nature in us. So from very beginning we have modes of nature in all of us. Satyam rajasa tamasadi guna prakriti sambhava. They come from prakriti, they have not come from me, Krishna is saying. They come from the prakriti. And what they do is, this nibadhrandi, they bind you. Three modes of material nature binds us, binds the jiva. Pañci bandhanti mahabaho and dehe dehinam avyayam. And with that our bodily identity has started. We have seen all those verses. Then the last verse we were discussing last time when we discussed Bhagavad Gita was Tatra sattvam nirmalatvad prakashakam anamayam sukha sankhena badhnadhi jnana sankhena chanaka. That was the verse we have seen before. And we have seen there that this sattva-gunam, how it binds us, how sattva-gunam binds us. This chapter is a very interesting chapter if you understand it well, in the sense that it will answer a lot of questions. Why we keep asking like this, isn't it? But when the modes of nature are working behind, how they control us every moment. Every moment it is controlling us in every aspect of our life. And not knowing that, we get thinking that I should have done like this, I should have done like that, and so many other misconceptions in our mind. So what we have seen last time was that the when Krishna mentions that this sattva-gunam Satra sattvam normalatvar prakashakam anamayam and sukha sankhena badhnadi jnana sankhena chanaka. Now here we mentioned that the example is like this prism or the crystal glass. That is how it is. What happens is that it is there between, sattva-gunam is there between yourself and the truth. And the truth. It won't block the light. It will let the light pass through. This prism, it won't block the light. It will let the light pass through. That means from light comes from the soul, knowledge. And knowledge will pass through this. But while passing through, it gets mixed with the sattva-gunam. But that is why Krishna uses the word there, sattvam nirmalatval. It is nirmalam, but at the same time, swacham. Swacham means like spadigam, like this crystal glass. Sattvam. Sattvam also has this tendency to cover our nature, real identity. But it is very transparent. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, when you are in sattva-gunam, it is prakashakam anamayam. Two things. He mentions like that. That means if you are in sattva-gunam, when you are listening to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the satsangam, you will capture it properly. And what you hear will not create any questions inside. It will be accepted without any interruptions from the mind. That's the benefit of the sattva-gunam. So, and to some extent, realization also will come. Some realization will come from them. In other words, you will have a very small glimpse of that truth. Or a very distant vision of the truth you can experience in sattva-gunam. And you may also feel sometimes that you are getting it. Some understanding is coming to me, you get that feeling, and a little bit of happiness, anandam from that. But it will only be very temporary, it won't last very long. And sometimes this happens. Like you can see, this sattvagunam, what it does is like this. Then, therefore, you can see that, you can see when you start chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, initially, after about, say you have started following, you have taken a decision to chant the holy name, and the first few months you have very steadily chanted every day a certain amount of Hare Krishna, 16 or 25 or 34, 32, whatever. And then you followed all the regulative principles, everything. And you can see that you will see some kind of happiness coming from within. Some kind of. It's basically due to that buildup of the sattvagunam inside. You have not reached anywhere near to Krishna. All what's happening is that the buildup of sattvagunam inside. That's what it has done. And that is that happiness what you are experiencing in the beginning. But what happens is, people started thinking that, oh, I started realizing the self. They misunderstand things like that. That is what it is important here to know. That when you take to spiritual life for a few weeks or months, if you have followed the principles, if you have disciplined your life in a certain way, natural way, there will be some sattvagunam inside. And that sattvagunam start giving you some happiness inside. That is the nature of sattvagunam. But you will misunderstand that, oh, I started realizing the truth already in a short period of time. Actually, you haven't got anywhere near to the truth. What is happening there is that very sattvagunam, what has developed inside to some small degree, that is creating this feeling inside. And you may even start thinking and start getting liberated from the bodily life. So, and you may start thinking, oh, there's nothing else to be done. I got it already there. But, and some people will say like that also. I'm getting this realization, that realization and all. And you start, it's all coming from the mind. Nothing is coming from the realization. It's all coming from the mind due to that sattvagunam. Some things, thoughts are coming and you are mistaking it as though it is from realization. It is not from realization. It is coming from the mind. So, and how will you know that? Because suppose you stop everything, you will see you will go back to the original state where you started. And that is the proof of that. If it has come from the consciousness, it will stay. If it has come from the mind, it won't stay. That is the proof of that. If you stop your sadhana, if you stop your discipline in spiritual life, and you will see very soon you will go back to your original state where you were before. And that is the proof that it was not coming from the consciousness. If it's coming from the consciousness, you won't have, it cannot go back again. It has come and it will stay there. So, but the thing is that sattvagunam's nature is that like this, that it will give you some happiness. In the beginning it will give you happiness. And it also says there, sattvayam nirmalatval, Krishna says, nirmalatval. Why nirmalatval? Nirmalatval means that it's pure. Sattvagunam is pure. And you also notice at that time, the body becomes very light. That is one of the nature of that. And mind and intelligence also will appear very with clarity. It's a lot of clarity in the mind and intelligence. That means you will notice yourself when you're making decisions, you're not making decisions in a passionate way. More in a balanced way, with thoughtfulness and willing to accept the results of your actions. Not in a mad way, I'm saying. Generally everybody makes in mad ways and decisions. Just knowing, oh, you said that, so I'll do like this. Exactly retaliating in that way. That attitude goes away, you'll become more in a balanced state. And also, the other symptom of that is in taste for satsangam. So it's for satsangam, chanting the holy name, kirtanam, and things like that. And also, when you sit down for reflection, for mananam, you will naturally have a meditation inside, you will develop inside about the, centered around the principles of Krishna consciousness, all that. And in fact, to tell you the truth, the first time we come to spiritual life itself is when we get this rise of sattvagunam inside. That is when you come to spiritual life first time. Udvegam, it's called. Sattvaguna udvegam. Udvega means the rising of sattvagunam inside is the reason that the first time we come to spiritual life itself, that is the, or we put our feet into the spiritual life because of that. So, so what can happen is, what can happen is that this sattugunam, when it goes away, people will think that it has happened to me without any effort, and it will come again at some time, like the way it has come before. It will come again. They will start thinking like that. But you may stay like that, but it may not come again. These are things you have to observe yourself, and you can verify yourself these things. It's not difficult. You can verify yourself. That is the very nature of this sattugunam. Where sattugunam has come, you don't know. How it has come, you don't know. It just happened. That it came in the life, some sattugunam, and the result was that you got pulled in by the by Krishna consciousness, and you started getting attracted to it. But at the same time, it came in accidentally. It came in, and then accidentally it will leave also and go away. So what sattugunam does is that that when it brings that taste in spiritual life, when sattugunam creates some taste in spiritual life, if one has some shravana samskaram means, if he has got that nature of hearing process or shravanam process, if a person is trained in that way, then it is possible that that sattugunam can be prolonged. Sattugunam can be prolonged with the help of this shravana samskaram. Sattugunam, what it does says, it's like this, that somebody, you, normally if you want to travel to another country, we need your passport and a visa and everything. Suppose somebody has taken you with him, somebody has taken you to another country without passport and visa, and they have accepted you, they let you in into the country, and you have traveled along and you have come back. This sattugunam is like that. It takes you somewhere without your passport or visa. What is a passport and visa? Passport and visa is like this, that in order to travel to somewhere else, you need certain qualities. Svabhava Shuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi they call it. Chitta Shuddhi and certain knowledge also is necessary to go to another place. And that is required. That is the passport and the visa, what we call it as. Without that, you have gone there. And you have come back from there again. And this you can see in the Bhagavatam. We talked about this many times before. That example of Chitragedu. Chitragedu's problem was this. That he went and became a Vidyadhara. But when he was taken by the Vidyadharas to Lord Shiva's abode, his vasanas have not gone away inside. Vasanas have not left him. Because of that, when he saw Shiva and Parvati, naturally his prakrita vasana, his, what do they call it, his crude vasanas inside came out. In front of Sri Parvati and friend of Lord Shiva, such a thought should not come to anybody. All the great sages are sitting in front of them. Shiva and Parvati, Sri Narada Maharshi, four Kumaras. They are receiving transcendental knowledge from Shiva. Lord Shiva is instructing them. Sri Parvati is sitting on the lap. So how come only Chitragedu got this funny idea in his head? This is because vasanas have not gone yet. If vasanas have gone, this would not have happened there. See how he got there, you know the story. Sri Narada Maharshi told him, chant this mantra for 7 days, you will see, you will go to the spiritual world. And he sent him there. He got there. He chanted 7 days and nights, but vasanas have not left him yet. It was a special mercy from Sri Narada Maharshi to Chitragedu. Chitragedu got there. And when he got there, Balaram received him and gave him transcendental advice to him, instructions to him, and told him that from now on you will remain as a Vidyadhara and you can travel with all these other Vidyadharas. And when he came to Vidyadhara Lokam, that means where the Vidyadharas live, the other Vidyadharas were a little suspicious about our new entrance, new entry, who had come. So they were not very happy to take him with them anywhere, because seeing his initial vasanas in him. Anyway, he went and he insisted that he wants to go with them, and he went with them. And what happened? Went there and offended Sri Parvati. Offended Sri Parvati. So he told him that you become asura. You have still that asura vasana in you. You go and become an asura. And that's how he became Vritrasura. In the Bhagavatam, you know that story in the sixth canto. So he had to become a Vritrasura, but because he was a devotee, Krishna saved him. That he accepted that when Sri Parvati cursed him. Who is Sri Parvati? Sri Parvati is this what we are talking about, this Prakriti here. She is the personification of Prakriti. And if she says something, you remain as a demon. You have no choice. You have to remain as a demon. And in that state, eventually he came out of that because he has served Krishna before. So for Krishna's grace, that has helped him. Even in that Vritrasura's body, he remembered Krishna. That is Krishna's mercy. That he was able to, after getting killed by the famous prayers from Vritrasura, even in that Vritrasura's body, bhakti was developing in the heart. So, what is indicating to us is that this Sattvagunam has this kind of problem. That Sattvagunam will do these kind of things. It will make you feel that things are very nice and you get this sudden lift from our present state. It gets a sudden lift. So, that is what Krishna is saying, that Tatra Sattvam Nirmalatvali. Nirmalatvali, that purity in Sattvagunam, what it does is Prakashakam Anamayam. These two words Krishna has used there. Prakashakam Anamayam. Prakashakam Anamayam. In other words, Anamayam means disturbances in life. For example, diseases, illnesses you get, or any problems like that with your life in this world. That's all disturbances. In some way it can happen. And Sattvagunam is Anamayam. Anamayam means it won't give you any harm. Rajogunam will create harm in some form or the other. Tamogunam also does. But Sattvagunam has this one quality, Anamayam it is. That means when Sattvagunam is there, your bodily problems, if you have any problem with the body, you will be able to live with that, tolerate it. It won't disturb your mind so much. Similarly, if you have any problems at home, in family or in any other way, of officially or whatever it is, those problems won't overpower you. You will be able to keep it under control and still be able to continue your spiritual life. These are the benefits of Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam's advantage is like this, it is Anamayam. That's why Krishna is using that word Anamayam. Prakashakam Anamayam. Anamayam means this. Anamayam means that it will keep everything under control. Now, for example, in Rajogunam, what happens if you have some distress comes in life, it completely shakes the boat. Isn't it? Whole life is disturbed. You can't chant the holy name. You can't listen to Bhagavad Gita. You can't listen to Bhagavadam. Everything gets very disturbed. That is coming from Rajogunam. Whereas in Sattvagunam, if it is in Sattvagunam, if anything happens, you can keep it under check. That's the beauty of Sattvagunam. Prakashakam Anamayam. Anamayam it is. That means it won't create any problems. If a disturbance comes in the body, you will still not be disturbed over it. Due to that disturbance in the body, you will not get disturbed. That means your mind won't get disturbed. You will still be able to carry on with your plan. Or if any other things happens, like family problems or problems at the work or whatever, those things you will be able to keep it in a certain restricted way. It will not disturb your life in this world, in other words. So that is why that Prakashaka Anamayam, it just talks about that. So, that means it does not create any vikshepam in the mind. That's the important thing, vikshepam. When we have some Rajogunam, and in the Rajogunam anything happens, it will create vikshepam in the mind. That's the nature of Rajogunam, vikshepam. That vikshepam won't be there if it happens in Sattvagunam. Suppose you are in Sattvagunam, and if a disturbance comes, vikshepam won't happen. Vikshepam won't happen. Peacefulness, in other words. What we call as the peace of mind, isn't it? But that's a very wrong expression, because when there is mind, there cannot be any peace. When there is peace, there won't be any mind. This is the thing. So Prakashakam. Prakashakam means it illuminates from inside of the existence of the soul inside, which means you will be conscious that I am a spirit soul and soul is not affected. If that much separation happens from the body, to a large extent you won't suffer in this world. that all conditions, if you start realizing inside that it's not happening to me, it's happening to the body, it's happening to the mind, why should I be disturbed? If that understanding, at least, if those thoughts come strongly inside, then even if disturbance comes in the world, you won't get shaken, you won't get disturbed over it. What normally happens is, when a disturbance comes, we identify with the mind straight away, and then we are dragged along with it. And that's where we lose our balance of mind, or balance of existence, in other words. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. So, this Sattvagunam has, these are the benefits of Sattvagunam. Do you see the difference? Where Sattvagunam is helpful than the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. These are the benefits. That Prakashakam, Anamayam, Nirmalatval. It allows the knowledge to pass through without any restrictions. So, that's what Krishna is saying. Yatra Sattvam Nirmalatval. Due to its Nirmalatvam, it is Prakashakam and it is Anamayam. Prakashakam means that it will deliver you the understanding in the right way. In the right way you will get it. That means if you hear something, you will get it in the right way. That is Prakashakam. That you will receive the message properly. Whereas if you receive the message in Rajogunam, what will happen? That is what I was saying. That we study Bhagavad Gita. And when we study, we have very limited freedom on all these things. If the mood is Rajogunam, then while hearing in Rajogunam, you will misunderstand the things. Then you will start taking somebody else as your enemy. And you will start treating them like that. Oh, he is my enemy because he is not with us. This is all coming from that Rajogunam. Because they heard Bhagavad Gita, but they heard it in the Rajogunam. That's the result of that. So, in which mode you hear Bhagavad Gita is important. If you hear in Rajogunam, in Bhagavad Gita in Rajogunam, you will definitely classify the world into two, friends and enemies. And once you have decided, these are my friends, these are my enemies, then what will happen? The next thing is, you will start dealing with them in that way. Is it not? And that is where all the problem comes. So that is why we have to be extremely careful when we study Bhagavad Gita. That we hear and get the message right in the first instance. If we get the message wrong, then it will manifest in our dealings in the world. We will start thinking the whole world is my enemy. They are not agreeing with me, so therefore I am enemy. That thinking will come. So Krishna is saying here that is what Prakashakam means. Anamaya means Prakashakam Anamayam. Anamaya means it does not create any disturbance inside. That's the beauty of Sattvagunam. So Nirmalatvam, Prakashakam, Anamayam. Three things Krishna is saying there. And because these three things are there, Krishna is saying there is one problem. What are they? Because they all bring sukham. Some kind of happiness it brings. Sukha sankhena badhnati. It binds you. Because when you get all these things, you start thinking, this is not bad, this Sattvagunam. And you will feel bound by the Sattvagunam. You will feel bound by the Sattvagunam. Sukha sankhena badhnati. Jnana sankhena chanaka. And Krishna says there that Sattvagunam also binds you. Krishna is saying, Sattvagunam also binds you. And what will happen is, it binds in the sense that little happiness that comes from Sattvagunam, you'll get attached to it. This is enough for me, I'm happy with this, you will say. I don't want anything else, I don't want to go back and back to God, and I'm happy here. This feeling will come from that. This is the problem in Sattvagunam. That means, in one way, Sattvagunam, although it reveals all these things, it will take away from you that determination to realize the truth and to go back to the spiritual world, to get out of this bondage, recycle birth and death, all that will not happen. So, aham jnani, aham sukhi, says I am knowledgeable and I am happy, this feeling will come. So, this is where the difference is. A person who is executing sadhana in this world and who is in Sattvagunam, and a self-realized soul, jnani, what is the difference between the two? The difference is this, that sadhana, one who is performing sadhana, when he is executing sadhana, he is feeling, I am happy. I am experiencing happiness. And I am having the knowledge. Knowledge is working in me.
all these thoughts will come to him. For a person who is executing sadhana in this world, say he is chanting the holy name and he has come to this stage of Satugunam. In that Satugunam, what he is experiencing is that he is experiencing there that I am happy, one, because Prakasham, Anamayam, and he is satisfied with the situation and the knowledge is having a little slight effect on him. So he is feeling some kind of happiness from that. A realized soul does not have it. Realized soul does not get it. Because Jnani or a realized person, for him, he is not enjoying anything. He is not enjoying anything like the way the sadhaka, he is called sadhaka. One who is executing sadhana and who has come to Sattugunam, he is called sadhaka. The way sadhaka experiences and the jnani experiences are different. Sadhaka thinking, I am experiencing that. Jnani is concerned, he is not thinking he is experiencing that, he is that experience itself. There is a difference there. Do you understand what I am saying? There is a big difference there. In the sadhaka's case, personality is still there. I am experiencing this. In the jnani's case, personality has gone. That is the big difference. Personality creates a big problem because personality, what it does is, it will always takes and leaves things. Whereas in the realized state, a jnani does not anymore takes a personality there. Happiness exists in him forever. He is happiness from then on. That is why vadandira tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidhi shabdyade. That he is a jnanam advayam. That advaya jnanam is him. He is advaya jnanam. He is not anymore a personality experiencing advaya jnanam. He is advaya jnanam itself. That is what his consciousness is. That is the difference. These are very subtle differences between the sadhaka and the jnani. So, the difference is this. In Jnani's case, false ego is not there. It's gone completely. Completely false ego is gone. Therefore, he is not thinking anymore, oh, I am having Satugunam now. I am having a happiness. I am having knowledge. Those thoughts doesn't exist in him. He's always in knowledge. He's always in the happiness state. That is the difference between Jnani and the Satugunam. So that is why he says, that Sugha Sankhena Bhagdhanadi Jnana Sankhena Chanakha. Jnana Sankhena Chanakha. So, there you will see that Katham Sugha Sankhena Sukhi Aham Idi Vishaya Bhudasya Sukhasya Vishayini Almini Samshaya Shabadhanam Mrasha Eva Sukhe Sanjanam Idi Sa Esha Avidya. So, look at that. What is Ajari saying there, that if you are experiencing that happiness at that time, in that Sattugunam, when you are experiencing that Sukham, or that happiness inside, Ashle Alpmani Samshle Shabadhanam Mrusha, but that happiness is false. Mrusha, that is. Why? Eva Sukhe Sanjanam Idisa Esha Avidya. Because that Sukham is binding you, isn't it? Therefore it is Avidya. Just see that. It will be very difficult to accept that as avidya, isn't it? You are feeling happiness from knowledge and Ajari Swami is saying there it is avidya. Why? Because it's binding you. Therefore it is avidya. That's it. This is subtle things of this verse. This verse is very interesting verse if you really get into it. That is saying here, Sugha Sankhena Badhanadi Jnana Sankhena Chanaka. That you have say you have performing sadhana for a long period of time and you have purified yourself with your disciplined way of life and freedom from thought waves and freedom from sinful activities and living a life of piety and a spiritually serious life, and naturally Sattvagunam will build up inside. And with that Sattvagunam, what all happens? Then says here, Prakasham, Anamayam, Nirmalatval, Krishna said that, all that before. But you will naturally feel some happiness in life. And you will feel a certain amount of peace inside, quite a large degree of peace inside. So peace inside, happiness inside. And you will start thinking that this is not a bad state. You are feeling comfortable in life, isn't it? Nothing is disturbing you in this way. So here, sukha sankhena, because of sukham, sukhi aham, I am happy, you feel. And vishaya bodhasya sukhasya vishayini alpini samshaya shobhada. In other words, it is not due to sense gratification. That's a big difference. It's not coming from sense gratification. But it is mrisha sukham. It is a false one. Why? Eva sukhe sanjana vidhi sa esha avidya. Because it is binding you to saptagunam, binds you again, because you are bound there. You are not going further from there to the platform of the soul. Still you are in the body. By identification, the body is still there. And that is when you are experiencing this. This happiness is experiencing you are still in identification with the body. And therefore, Acharya Swami says there, that iti sa esha avidya. That is avidya it is. That is his point. So now you can see how fine we have to be in spiritual life to understand all these things, isn't it? Only when you have that fineness in us, then you will start recognizing all these differences. Otherwise, you will misunderstand everything from the very beginning. So, sukhi aham, you start thinking, I'm happy. In fact, Atma does not have any sukham. Atma, sukham is coming from the mind, doesn't come from the Atma. Atma has got ananda. So, Atma's nature is ananda swarupam it is, isn't it? Ananda swarupam. But what happens is, this false ego inside us will keep coming back. And it will come back again and it will create this abhimana vritti. Abhimana vritti means a thought wave that's coming from the false ego. What is that thought wave? I am happy. That's a thought wave inside. It's a thought wave inside, I am happy. And that thought wave is coming from the false ego. What way is coming? The false ego. So that is where, when you say that, I have experienced happiness, you have to ask this question, that who has experienced this happiness? And if you say that I am feeling happy, you have to ask who is feeling that happiness inside. Because this truth inside, Atma inside, will never say that. Atma inside will never say that. It's coming from the mind. It's coming from the mind. So, you know the story that a thief entered into the ship. Something got stolen in the ship. So, they started looking for the thief. So, everybody started searching for the thief. Thief also joined. Searching for the thief. Will they find the thief? They will never find the thief, isn't it? It's the same situation. Here, this is what the mind is doing at this time. The mind gives you happiness and you misunderstood that as it's coming from the soul. And you are thinking that it is coming from the soul. A similar situation. Similar situation that is. So, actually, this whole excitement is created by that false ego. Abhimana vritti, that thought wave that has come from the false ego, is creating this false feeling inside. I am happy. And sukha sankhena badhanadi, that is that bondage Krishna is saying. We have to be very, very careful at this stage, because this is where we all get trapped in that. We start thinking that, I am feeling bliss and I am feeling this and that. So many misunderstanding comes to us at that time. Ecstatic. Ecstasy is not the nature of the soul. That's all the nature of the mind it is. But we will say things and then after 2 days, 3 days, ecstasy has gone. So what kind of ecstasy is that? If real happiness has come, then it should stay, isn't it? If it's not staying, it's only an excitement temporarily we felt. Sometimes you see that in the Harinam or Kirtanam bhajans and all that. You see some temporary excitement sometimes. So, therefore, Krishna says, Sukhasankhena badhinadi jnanasankhena chanaka. In other words, in the knowledge also, you can have sangam. Sangam can happen. Because you will start thinking, I know it now. I got the knowledge, and you will get attached to that knowledge. And in that way, Sattvagunam binds us. Krishna is saying, Sattvagunam binds us. So, but there's one good thing about Sattvagunam. Krishna has spoken that in the Bhagavatam also. What is that? If you take the help of Sattvagunam, knowledge can develop inside easily. Sattval sanjayate jnanam. And Krishna is going to say that later in this chapter itself. So out of, you want these three gunam, you got a choice now, which one is best to work with. That's all. Which is the best one to work with. but before we go into that, we'll look at Rajogunam and Tamogunam and understand that better, because only then you will understand the benefit of Sattvagunam. So, let's look at that. Next verse. Rajo ragalpagam vidhi Trishna sanga samulbhavam Tannibhadradi kaunteya Karma sangena dehinam Rajo ragalpagam vidhi Trishna sanga samulbhavam Tannibhadradi kaunteya Karma sangena dehinam Rajo ragalpagam vidhi Trishna sanga samulbhavam Tannibhadradi kaunteya Karma sangena dehinam. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. O son of Kunti, and because of this one is bound to material fruity activities. To material fruitive activities. This is a very, very interesting verse. If you get this verse right, lot of your understanding will change about life. In the sense that we misunderstand a lot of things because of our modes inside. Try to understand this. Nature of Rajogunam is it sticks. Like the blue tag. It keeps sticking everywhere. That is the nature of Rajogunam. Because Rajogunam itself is asakti. Asakti means attachment. Attachment everywhere. You will see. That is Rajogunam. That's the nature of Rajogunam. And Krishna says that it gives you a color. In other words, that the very nature of Rajogunam is to get attached. And it will hold desire, strong desire. I must have it. I'm very attached to it. This attachment itself is the very nature of Rajogunam. That is why Krishna is saying that the first word he used is Ragam. Isn't it? Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, Krishna says, isn't it? Rajo Ragalpagam. This Ragam, Ragam means what? Attachment. That is the nature of Rajogunam. In Sattvagunam you don't see that. When we have strong, when we are feeling anywhere attachment in anything, strongly, you can take it that it is Rajogunam that is powerful inside. Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi. Ragalpagam it is. And that is the very nature of Rajogunam. Asakti, attachment. Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. And he also mentions there that Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. Which means that the explains. Tanjanan rago gai riyadivad ragalpagam vidhi janihi trishna sanga samalbhavam trishna aprapta abhilashaha asangaha prapte vishaye manasaha priti lakshanaha samshleshaha trishna sanga yoho samulbhavam trishna sanga samulbhavam. In other words, this Rajogunam, what it does is, it's just like the saffron dye. It changes the color, and once you have put it into saffron something, you can't make it back to white again. Suppose you became a sannyasi, you can't come back to householder. In the same way, you can't change your dhoti. You'll have to buy new dhoti if you want to become a householder again. So that is how Rajogunam is. Once it has gone in, then it becomes very thick. It changes everything, the color of everything. And what is Trishna Sangha Samalbhava? Trishna Sangha Samalbhava means something what you cannot get, you want it. You want it. And whatever you have got it, your mind is so attached to it. Some children they got some toys, some plastic thing it is, cheap plastic. They'll say, it's mine. They'll say, it's mine. And when you see that attachment, you wonder what's going to happen in the future. If it's a small plastic thing at this age, if he's getting attached so much, what will happen when he grows up? So, that is what that Trishna. Trishna Sangha Samudbhava. So, from Trishna and Asakti, that means something, what you haven't got it, you want to get it. An intense desire for that is Trishna. And strong attachment for something what you have created, Ragam. So, Trishna and Ragam, he says here, Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. From these two, something happens. Tad devadhnandi tad rajaha kaunteya karma sangena drishta adrishteshu karmasu sanjanam talprada karma sanghatena nibadhnandi rajo dehina. What it does is, it will pull you into karma. How powerful it is. Things you have never thought about, you will go and do it. To such karma, you will get involved. Whatever you have seen before, you have not seen before, all kinds of karma, you will be pulled into it. You will be pulled due to that strong power of Trishna and Ragam inside. And it will create, that is the one which connects you to the karma. This Ragam and Trishna. That connects you to the karma. That means strong karma vasana is created inside because of that. And that will naturally, Krishna is saying, will bind him. Straight away he is bound. That is what he is saying. Tannibadhnadi kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. Karma sangena dehinam. Says it like that. Now, here, if you look at this thing, that this Trishna, that I want so many things in life. This desire never leaves. What to do? Sometimes it is like that. Is it not? So many things we want in life. You start desiring like this. And that is Trishna. Whether you can afford it or not, that's another thing. Even if you can afford, why such a desire should come? There are so many things you can afford in this. But still, so many desires are coming. All kinds of gadgets, all kinds of experiences, holidays, all kinds of desires can come in life. You don't have to analyze it too much because you know how desires come. Isn't it? Without any plan, it comes from somewhere. Where it has come, you don't know. It's coming all the time, one form or the other. If I had this, it would have been nice. If I had that, it would have been nice. Like this, desires are coming. So, from this you have to understand that all big things that happens in this world, it comes from Rajoguna. This is the principle. Any big projects, any big plans in this world, if anything is happening, what behind that is, this Rajogunam is working. This is the most important principle. That without Rajogunam, it won't develop. Let it be anything, it doesn't matter. Any big thing happening in this world, the power behind that is Rajogunam. That is Krishna's verdict on that. You will notice in spiritual life also, this is very clearly you can see this. In spiritual life you can see this very clearly. For example, big festivals in temples, if you take big festivals. There will be big arrangements for, because thousands and thousands of people are coming. Big arrangements. And those who are coming there, if there are no facility there, like that way, they come, they glorify all that. All this has been done, well managed, well organized, everything is wonderful, fantastic, they say. And they go back with an impression that everything has been done well. What they do not know is that the whole engine behind that is this Rajoguna. this region. Even all the temples, there, big festivals happen. Big festivals happen. Sometimes they will arrange elephants for the festival. Hundreds of elephants will be there. And there will be a lot of playing drums and a lot of different dresses, playing different forms of the Puranas and everything. But if you observe carefully, you will see the people who enjoy all that is the ordinary villagers who come from the village. Not the Brahminical class who chant the Vedam or who have studied the Shastra. They know very well these massive festivals are for those who come from the outside. They come once a year to the temple to enjoy the festival. When they come, if they don't see all these things, they will go home in a very upset way. They want such elaborate arrangements for the festival. That means hundreds of elephants should be there. A lot of fireworks must be there after that. They want to witness all that. And after that, a big feast. And then they will go home happily. They think, they feel spiritually elevated. And they feel that they have participated in the festival. If you don't have any of them, you know what they will say? What kind of festival is this? They'll make a comment and they will go back. This is a regular thing. All over India you will see this in different ways happening. So anywhere, doing things in a big way is not Vedicam. It is not Vedic way. Vedic way is Sattvagunam. Doing things in a small way, in a simple way, because that creates Sattvagunam in a person. Not working from Rajogunam. You can see how Rajogunam creates problem. When we have these big festivals, you look at the organizers, their face is always in anxiety. Will anything go wrong? Power supply can go wrong. Police may go wrong. Or the ambulance may go wrong. Or some, especially before the fireworks, they have so much anxiety. If something goes wrong, sometimes fireworks can catch fire and some people can get killed, stampede, and all sorts of problems. This is all coming from that Rajoguna. It's all coming from the Rajoguna. So this is the, not only in the temple, this is happens even in spiritual side, I'm saying. People supposed to be engaged in spiritual life. In their life, even this happens. What to talk about in the normal karmi's life, material life. Where all the big projects, doing big things, like you can see that they invest and find great happiness and success in the big projects, isn't it? Going to the moon, going to the Mars, or building huge aircraft carriers and airplanes and all sorts of things. Where, who is the engine behind it? This man. This Rajoguna. He is the one. That is why Krishna is saying to be watchful about him more than anybody else. Tamogunam is hopeless. You can't do anything with them. You just have to wait till you come out of it. But Rajogunam creates more disturbances in this way. So, if you have these three gunam, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the only way to... Then you may ask the question, why all these festivals like this? The reason is this. Those who are in Tamogunam, first you have to bring them to Rajogunam. Only then from there to Sattvagunam is possible. This is the difficulty. That is why the temple authorities also, who are knowledgeable, they know these things. That's why once a year at least, they will have a 10 or 15 days festival in a big way. And invite everyone, anyone to come for the festival. Participate in the festival. At least from their Tamogunam state at home, when they are not doing anything for spiritual life, at least for a few days they will be engaged in Rajogunam. Some Rajogunam will work inside. They will get attracted to something in the Rajogunam. When they see hundreds of elephants standing there, and hours and hours of playing drums and instruments and all that, it creates some feelings in them, and they tend to start thinking a little bit deeper than that, than what they were originally. Tamogunam, you can't expect anything to happen. So this is the situation with the Rajogunam. So Rajogunam's nature, if you look all over the world, you can see like this, it is this Rajogunam that makes things to happen in this world, big things to happen in this world. Sattvagunam never does anything. Sattvagunam never does anything. What does Sattvagunam does? Sattvagunam brings peace inside, shanti, happiness, anandam, everything. When it is doing all, Sattvagunam does all these things inside, Rajogunam will make you more and more busy with all these big, big projects. Big, big projects. That is the way Rajogunam operates. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Rajo Ragatmagam Vidhim. He says that. Ragatmagam Vidhim means ambition. Very ambitious. Very ambitious. And then, not only that, it will manifest in different way. That you had this festival, then you will say that, oh, we had 100,000 people came. That means it's big success, isn't it? This feeling, this where it's coming from, Rajogunam. It's coming from the Rajogunam. So, this principle of Rajogunam, the business people knows this very well, how it works. That is why in all the industry and business, you will see, especially in the sales and marketing, they give you a target first. Isn't it? Anyone who works in the marketing department, you will know this. First, they will give you a target for a year. So much, 500,000 or 1,000,000 or 2,000,000, whatever your target is. And if you achieve that target, that then next year, they will double it. Or they will say 20% more should be the target next year. They keep on putting it up all the time. So, one side, they'll keep the target. On the other side, they'll give you a wage rise. Along with that, they'll give you a rise in the wages this year because you reached the target. And that is where they exploit and if you don't go along with it, you're out. You're gone. Gone from that. You can't work anymore. So this is industry and business operates on this principle. Every organization, you will see this, they will have these two things going together. One side there will be a target and the other side there will be the remuneration along with this. That you achieve the target, you get your wage increase. Then you achieve the target. So every year they will increase the target. So they will say to you, we will give you more money if you reach this target next year. So if you get that, what will happen? You will start working day and night for that, is it not? Once you are told like that. This year you had 2 million target. Next year it is 2.5 million. Then you will work more next year. Time is saying 24 hours. That hasn't gone up. But you will be working more. You will cut off all your other demands at home and life. That is why a lot of people are caught up in this. There is nothing you can do about it. And they are saying like that, so and then they will start working. That is what Krishna is calling there, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. That word. That's what it is. See that word? Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. That's what that is indicating. Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. So this is the way it works. How to use somebody's Rajogunam to your advantage. Business does that very well, isn't it? So, and it is after studying this Bhagavad Gita, they have started these management schools. All this has come from this. Who planted this idea into their head? Bhagavad Gita has done this. That use the Bhagavad Gita and say to them, and our sannyasis have only this one job. Go into all these management schools, so many of them are doing this now, that they go to them and they are running courses there. In the management institutes and in the companies also. I told you that before, didn't I? That these are all, if you say that Goldman Sachs and Pricewaterhouse, Ernst & Young, they are all our customers. What does that mean? What does that mean? That is how we are saying to people, these are the big billion-dollar companies, isn't it? Blue chip or whatever they call it. All these companies, we are going and running courses there. Everybody is doing that. All sannyasis are doing this. And in India also, big corporations who are very wealthy, they are all hiring sannyasis to come and to teach Bhagavad Gita to them. But these guys, they want to make money. And they know that this principle will work. This principle what Krishna is saying here, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. So what they do is that you go there and you go and teach them Bhagavad Gita and says to them that different techniques in the Bhagavad Gita, how to utilize it in your business management, and tell them how to make more money from that. This is how things are today. So, and we go and train them, teach them, run courses for them. Many people I have spoken to, they are all doing this. They tell me very happily that they are our customers. We have regular plans because they will pay some money. These companies like Pricewaterhouse and Ernst & Young and Goldman Sachs and so many like Ernst & Young and all of them. And plus the very big companies, like BT, like so many others like that. They are willing to hire them to run these courses for them. And we train them how to make more money for them. So, what has gone wrong now? What has gone wrong is, in the olden days, when the Acharyas taught Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they will not allow to take Vedantam into your mundane life and dissolve it there. They will not allow that. They will not allow that. What we are doing now is, we are taking this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, taking it into the world and making it to spread it around everywhere in that way. When you look at it, both looks like the same. What does that mean? So, it looks like this, that you may think that, oh, they are also preaching there, are they not? They are going and speaking Vedantam to them. But the difference is this. In one thing, what you are doing is, you are taking Vedantam and taking it to the world and dissolving it there. The other one is, you are bringing the world and dissolving it in the Vedantam. Do you understand the difference? Yeah? That's very important to know that. Our goal, spiritually inspired, person who is spiritually inspired, what does he do? He does not want to expand the world. He brings the world and dissolves it in the Vedantam. Because Vedantam answers the questions. It finally closes your this material life. That's what the idea is. Whereas, what's happening now is, we are taking Vedantam and expanding it into the world and dissolving it in the world. That means you become worldly more than become spiritually sensible. This is the difference. But in appearance, you may think, oh, they are also preaching Vedantam. We are going and giving the message of Bhagavad Gita. That is the way they put it to the world. These Swamis, they put it to the world, oh, we are preaching to all these people. This is why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that unless you have certain qualifications, you don't come to spiritual life. If you have such strong material motivations and power and money and desires and all that, then you carry on finishing your karma vasana there. You are not ready for spiritual life. But we want to save all of them. All these companies and their staff and they are not interested in that. What they are interested in is how to make more money. Their goal is different than the person who is practicing spiritual life properly. His goal is different than the person who is in the industry. They like to come for a course or seminar. They will like to pay, they'll pay you well. Or if you have some 50 people, they will each pay you $1,000, they would have no problem. And you have plenty of money you get from them. And you feel also recognized because they are all listening to us. So you feel happy about it, isn't it? It's all a waste of time at the end. It's all a waste of time. It doesn't help the situation. That's the point. It's important to try to understand this. That these two scenarios, there's a big difference. One thing, that will create Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa and others. And this one will create Vedavyasa Maharshi, Shankaracharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others. That's the difference between the two. This one type of culture where you go and mix Vedantam into these people who are not qualified for that and you start training them in this way, what it will create is more Hiranyakashipus, more Hiranyakshas and more Kamsas. Whereas the other way, if you see the original way when it was done in that way, what it does is that what will come out is powerful personality, spiritual personalities will come out from that rather than the demonic personalities. Do you get the point what I'm saying? Yeah, there's a difference there, but normally people won't notice it. They think that, oh, We will say, oh, we have distributed so many Bhagavad Gita's to them and they have taken to it. We think like that. But it is not like that. It doesn't work like that. What's happening here? So, this you can see. This is in the Bhagavatam. This principle is there in the Bhagavatam. If you look Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there are some personalities who can speak Vedantam very well. Isn't it? You will see Kamsa speaking Vedantam. Hiranyakashipu spoke Vedantam. Did you not see that in the 7th canto? And people start asking this question that how come Hiranyakashipu knows everything? But he is acting like this. Everybody has this question, is it not? When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, and when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu calls his mother and Didi Devi comes and he speaks to Didi Devi and to Hiranyaksha's wife. And if you see Hiranyakashipu's lecture there in the Bhagavatam, you will be shocked. He knows more than us, all of us, what we have heard. He knows better to say Vedantam, he knows better. And then the kind of things he does is completely opposite. Isn't it? This is what Krishna is saying here. That you shouldn't do this because this will create more demonic nature. We are actually helping their demonic way of life. Although in principle it has come from knowledge. Rajur Avalbhagam Vidhi, Krishna Sangha Samulbhavam, that verse. That Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam is what it is there inside them. And when you have so much Trishna, Rajogunam in a person, if you give Bhagavad Gita to them, they will misunderstand everything. That is what will happen. And the result will be, but these Swamis and Gurus and all, they don't understand these things. They go, oh yeah, he is giving us money, we are preaching, they are all becoming devotees, we are building temples, everything is going on. But what it does is, that a lot of demonic personalities will come out from this, finally. A lot of demonic personalities will come out from this because they have misunderstood everything because they heard Bhagavad Gita and Rajogunam. Rajogunam's power, that is what Krishna is saying here. This is why Krishna wants this Rajogunam as the most difficult thing. If you remember, in the 2nd chapter Krishna spoke, what did he say? If you remember, about Rajogunam he wants. More than anything else. Third chapter. What did he say? What was that verse? When he spoke about the wait a minute. Athagayana prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. He mentioned there at that time. Then Arjuna asked the question, what's forcing a person to act in a sinful way? Isn't it? There's a verse, athagayana prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. It was at that time Krishna mentioned to them, anichchannavi varshnaya baladivan yojita. That is verse 36 in the 3rd chapter. Arjuna said, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? 36th verse. Athagena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha. Tas anichchannavi varshnaya baladiva niyojida. Baladiva niyojida. As though forcefully it is done. Forcefully done. Krishna is saying here, kamayesha krodhayesha tejoguna samulbhava. Mahashano Mahapapnam Vidyenam Iha Vaidinam. That's the answer. Clear, isn't it? You can see those two verses, how they are connected with this chapter. Kamayesha Krodhayesha, which has come from Rajoguna Samulbhavam. From Rajogunam it has come. And Mahashanam. Ashanam means hunger. Mahashanam. Starving. It's really starving. Mahashanam.
Mahapapnam. You can imagine when you are starving, what happens? You will eat anything, whatever. Kichdi and kichdi get it. You will say. So when you are starving, you're not particular about it. So Mahashanam Mahapapnam. Mahapapnam. Vidyanam Yavairinam. Krishna is saying that. That Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material modes of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world, this Rajoguna. So that is important thing. Rajogura Avalpavam Vidhi, Krishna Sangha Samalbhavam, Ta Nibadnadi Kaundeya, Karma Sangena Dehinam. So if you ask all these three gunam, Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa, he is the most dangerous one, this Rajoguna. Tamogunam, you can't do anything. What can you do? There's nothing you can do. Hopeless situation, as they say. It's in the Bhagavatam also, if you remember. In the first canto, first chapter, second chapter, Krishna is saying there that in Sattvam Yad Brahma Darshanam, Sattvagunam can help you to go back to take the spiritual life. But in the Rajogunam, if you look into that word that he mentions there, he says that Vasudevi Bhagavati Kurvandi Atman Prasadanim. He says Sattvam Rajastamayidi Pragadeya Gunastaya. Three modes of gunam is there. Yukta Parapurushayagam Hasyadate Stityade Hari Vilinji Hare Di Satyam Shrayam Sitatragalu Sattvadano Nirnam Siyu. Verse 23 in the first canto, second chapter. And he also mentions there that with the influence of Rajogunam, what will happen is this, that you will not feel, when there is a lot of, and they give the example there, that the, with the excess of, when there is Sattvagunam, this knowledge will enter. When there is, they give the comparing with the Pathiva Dharana Bhumi Tasma Dadna Trayi Bhave. He says, like if you have, if a fire falls into dry grass, it will catch fire straight away. Isn't it? If it falls on the wet grass, it will get extinguished. And similarly, Krishna mentions that here also. There are some verses about that. Mentioned in this chapter, he says, look at that. Yada tada rajasthamubhavam kama lobhadashye chedameda anavidam sthitam sattva prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogada bhagavad tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Parthivaddharuno, verse 24, 1, 2, 24. Parthivaddharuno dhumam tasmad agnitrayo trayimayam tamasastu rajastasma sattvam yad brahma darshanam. That is what it is. Parthivaddharuno dhumam tasmad agni trayimaya tamasastu rajastasma sattvam yad brahma darshanam. So from tamogunam one has to come to rajogunam first. In tamogunam nothing will work. So just like in the wet grass, if fire falls, it won't catch fire. That is tamogunam. Tamogunam is like that. It won't catch fire at all. So there's nothing you can do about it with tamogunam. If it is sattvagunam, it is favorable. If you can develop it, it is favorable for self-realization. Rajogunam, most dangerous one. What it does is, the problem with Rajogunam is, it will drive you mad. In the sense that you want to do a lot of things in this world and in doing all that, you'll get bound in that process. You won't look this side, that side. You'll go on doing things. Give a lot of trouble to others in that process. And finally, it will bound you a lot to this world, and then you will leave this world in that state. That is what the point was. Krishna was saying there. So, here, important thing is that these two things, big difference, which one? Going to tell people about Vedantam
and taking Vedantam to them and to make it suitable for them. They are people who are not ready for Vedantam. Because why? This Rajogunam is very strong in them. And therefore, when the Rajogunam is very strong in them, if you give this knowledge to them, they will turn out like Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa and so many others. They will become like that. That is the important thing to realize it. We don't think those things, do we? We are preaching. What preaching? We're going and telling all these companies that you're okay. As long as you pay us, we'll come and preach to you Bhagavad Gita. This is nonsense. This has no sense at all. First of all, you have to get them out of their unfortunate situation. And they are engaged in all kinds of dishonest and false way of livelihood in this world. Cheating, lying, kind of things, they have gone up to the extent. And you can see that their transactions in this world are so wrong. Absolutely no ethics, no dharmam in their life. Particularly there's no dharmam in their life. And you are going and handing over to them, saying that you can make progress in spiritual life by understanding. This is the, so the one who is wrong, are they wrong or the ones who are doing is wrong? You have to ask that question, isn't it? Either the ones who are doing it have not understood properly. You don't do these things. This was never done in the past any time. These are all modern world what people are doing. That's what I'm saying. Lot of institutions are doing this, going to all these big companies and making them as our clients. And very happily they are announcing to the world they are in our client list so that you will be impressed. Where is spiritual life now? What has happened to spiritual life? Spiritual life has become like this. So this is the unfortunate situation. So what Krishna is saying here, if you have understood this verse properly, Rajum Ragalpagam Vidhi Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam Tanni Vagnadi Kavantaya Karma Sangena Dehinam. What you are doing is, you are whipping up their karmam. You are whipping up their desires inside. Karma Sangena Dehinam. They are getting more and more bound in there. Already they are doing nonsense. And you are only supplementing their nonsense with your so-called knowledge. So, what do you do? This is where spiritual life has ended up today. So many people are doing this. They take great pride in saying that all these big companies are in their client list. And when people come with those qualifications, when I'm talking about those qualifications which are favorable for developing that kind of life, that way of life, we glorify them saying that they have got this degree, that degree, and therefore they are the right candidate. No, they are not. Actually, they have to get rid of all that from inside before they take to this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So that is why Krishna is saying here that the that Srimad Bhagavatam will say this. What has happened? Interesting thing here is, Hiranyakashipu has also performed penances, hasn't he? If you look at Hiranyakashipu's penances, Brahma says, nobody has done penances like you, he says to Hiranyakashipu. Like the way he did. We are nothing compared to Hiranyakashipu. We are practically, probably, what do we, our greatest penance is Emergent Ekadashi. Ekadashi without water. This is our greatest penance. I mean, you have to admire that, those who are able to do that. But Hiranyakashipu's penances, if you read, he is even done better than Dhruva. Isn't it? Compared to even Dhruva, Hiranyakashipu has done better than that because, if you remember, look into Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu is sitting there. All around him, the anthill has got built up around him. And when Brahma came, he couldn't see Hiranyakashipu anywhere. Whereas when Krishna came to see Dhruva, Dhruva was visible very much. Things are not gone that bad. Like, whereas Hiranyakashipu says, Hiranyakashipu has performed for thousands of years. Dhruva has done for 6 months. Dhruva has done only for 6 months. Hiranyakashipu was done for 1,000 years. And Brahma came and looked, he couldn't find Hiranyakashipu anywhere. Then from his kamandalu he took some water and sprinkled on this anthill, and from there came out, Vajra Samhana no Yuva, it says. A man came out from there who was so attractive and good looking, and we think that Hiranyakashipu means a demon and very demoniac and ugly looking with 10 heads like Ravana. No, not like that. Hiranyakashipu, when he came out, he was so beautiful, like gold and diamond, he says. Vajra Samhana, I know you are, in the Bhagavatam says. A young man who looks like a golden complexion and very, you know, all body well shaped, as though he had a good practice in the gym or whatever you say, with a broad chest and what do you expect from a young healthy person, healthy man. That's how he looked like. And when he came out, he says here that, and then what did he do after that? Straight away, first thing he did was went to the heavenly planets, walked in there, and with the left foot, he kicked Indra's throat. Not with the right foot, that's more important. With the left foot, he threw it. Just to show you're nothing for me. That's why the left foot indicating that. And Indra and all his escaped from there, ran away from there, frightened of him. And so, they have also performed penances, isn't it? And when Brahma says to Brahma says to Hiranyakashipu, nobody in the past has done like this, nobody in the future will anybody will do like this. The way you have performed penances, I am so pleased with that. He says to Hiranyakashipu. And then he asked Hiranyakashipu, what do you want? And Hiranyakashipu said, this is what I want. And Brahma says, you can have all of that, whatever you ask for. And that is the way it is. And these demons to whom who are in Rajogunam, that is what the important point here is. Hiranyakashipu is in Rajogunam. That is why he is asking all these kind of things from Brahma. Brahma, who received knowledge directly from Krishna, instead of asking about Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna consciousness from Brahma, what is he asking? He is asking all this kind of things what's mentioned. This is all the symptom of that Rajogunam inside. And you can also notice one thing there. For what purpose did they perform their penances? For supremacy over the world. Isn't it? That ego inside. And Rajogunam is very strong inside them. And therefore, that vasana is there. Therefore, and that also desire, I want to control everybody. That's the first thing he went to Indra. And Indra and the demigods all left the planet. And as soon as Hiranyakashipu arrived there, what did they do? They all left. But all the Apsaras women there, they started dancing, celebrating his arrival, new king's arrival. They started celebrating there and they all started glorifying Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu looked at all of them and said, are you all happy with the situation? They said, yes. And then Hiranyakashipu comes back from there. He took control of the heavenly planets in that way. So because this Rajogunam is so strong inside and desire, Krishna Sangha Samulbhavam, it is there inside, there will be a very intense desire to conquer others in those who are in Rajogunam. And they will like to get things done in their way. This is their strong nature in this Rajogunam. Everything they want to get done in their way. They won't accept Prakriti, material nature. So, that means they want to bring everything under their feet. Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Trishna will never go from inside. From them, Trishna will never go from inside. This is what Lord Buddha has found out after 12 years of penances. Buddha says this. Then Trishna, this desire is the cause of everything. And you may do anything, but Trishna, desire won't go at all. Bhartrihari said this also. Bhartrihari in his Vairagya Shalakam, you will see this words also. He says, in the body all the nuts and bolts have all become loose. The body's nuts and bolts have all become loose. All the teeth is gone, and all the hair is gone, and I can't hardly walk, Bhartrihari says. But one person inside is getting younger day by day. Mm-hmm. Who? This desire. Okay. Desire inside. And body is approaching old age and feeling all that. Trishnaiga tarunayate. Trishna means desire. He is getting stronger and younger. More and more younger. So, he says there only Trishna. Desire alone is becoming more youthful in nature. So, that didn't become old. And it, on the other hand, it is getting worse. So that is why it is from this desire, Trishna, Rajogunam is born. Rajogunam is born. So this attachment, Asakti, or this Trishna, Trishna Sangha Samalbhavam, from this many other desires to acquire and achieve many more things in this world. Sometimes when people die, when they are dying in their, lying in their deathbed, you go and ask them, are you dying in a peaceful state? They will say, have you got everything what you wanted in life? They will say, what? I desired many things but didn't happen. That's what they will say. Didn't happen, I had so many other desires but didn't happen. Prabhupada also gave one or two very interesting examples. He said that there was one person when he was dying and the doctor came and he knew that he is on the Liverpool pathway, he's on his way out. So that time he says that to doctor, I have a few more things to sort out in this world, if you can extend it for another few moments time, if I can get, it will be very nice, he said. Person is dying, and he said like this. And similarly, people had many desires, it didn't happen in this life. So this thing that I want to become something, I had to become something, this is the nature of that Trishna. Becoming. Becoming is the nature of this Trishna. I want to become something. Becoming. So that in the Shastram they call it as Bhavaroga. Bhavam, they call it. So what is happening is, in because of this urge to become something, due to the power of that urge in us, we are not giving attention to what we already got. That's an unfortunate thing. You see? Because of this desire to become something, which is especially in the youth. Old age is nothing you can do. You just have to wind up the show. Isn't it? There's not much time left. You are closing down different windows and doors one after the other. If you can't get it, finally, okay, we'll have without that. We'll live in this world. That's what happens, isn't it? Not that desire is not gone. Desire is there, but you can't have it. So therefore you say, no, I'm not having it. I won't have it. So that's how it is. So this is the situation. Krishna is saying here that what is happening is because you are caught up in this urge for to become something, you are not giving attention to what you already have got. We have got two things. One is what you have already got. The other one, this movement in the mind to become something. This is what we have got, which is called the mind. Mind is playing that game. So mind is always planning to become something, to become something, to do something, to get something, all this. But behind that mind, there is something what we have already got, that Purna Vastu, Atma, the soul, which doesn't want to become anything, which want to be on its own, to be left to itself. And it is waiting on its own to get this attention, to get our attention. So when you are caught up in the mind, and the mind is busy about becoming something, want to become this, want to become that, then what happened? Your attention has not gone to the real vastu behind it. Now even Bhagavad Gita hearing can become a process like that, of becoming something. Just like you will start thinking, I have to become a jnani, realize the soul tomorrow, I have to become, realize the self, all this is also becoming. There is no question of becoming here. What it is that this jnanam, avidya must go from inside, and what's already there has to live on its own. That is all what is necessary. So that is where Vedantam is saying to us, you cannot achieve anything in this world. You cannot achieve anything. In the four letters they use the utpadyam, apyam, that. It is not utpadyam. That means you cannot manufacture self-realization. You cannot create that. Self-realization is never created, nor it is apyam. That means you are not going to get it some point. Not like that. It's already there in us. The self is always liberated. this ajnanam, avidya from inside has to be removed. That is all it is. And that is why if you continuously hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that this tendency to go after the mind will go. The tendency to go after the mind will go, and you will start realizing that behind this mind there is a higher truth. This realization will come. At the moment we are hearing through the mind even. Whatever we are hearing through the mind. But this tendency of hearing through the mind and satisfying the mind has to go. Mind cannot help, mind cannot do anything either. When we see that as much as you hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and what Krishna is saying here, is that this apyam, ulpadyam, it is called, that this nature in us, if it leaves us, then we will not look for anymore to become something or to get somewhere. These are all, this planning, organizing and targets and all that does not work in spiritual life. It doesn't work in spiritual life. Sometimes we have this nature from, we come from our background of material life, isn't it? That's our background. So when we, and there we have got used to all these things, planning things, organizing things. And we want to bring the same thing into spiritual life also. And that will not work. In spiritual life, that is not what is important. In spiritual life, what is important is recognizing something, what is the truth. If you recognize that Atma does not want any of these things, what Atma requires is Shraddha there. Shraddha is what is necessary. At the moment, like we practiced in the material life, we executed so many projects in life, and that same nature we bring into spiritual life also. And we think that by doing all these things, I get there one day. I'll become like this. I'll become a jnani, I'll become a sannyasi, I'll become this, I'll become that. That is not the way spiritual life operates. That's the point. That it is not upadhyam, it is not apyam. Instead, what it is that ajnanam inside, you take it out. That's all necessary. I have ajnanam inside, avidya inside. If I remove my avidya, I am what is I am. I will be where I should be. So, that satyam is behind all these things. And what is there now in you at this moment, that's the only thing what is going to be there. Nothing else is going to come from outside. And that is what it is there all the time. Like we mentioned this before also, that aham asmi, that aham, that consciousness, what is in us all the time, that's the only thing what will be with us forever. Everything else will leave us. Now, right at this moment, if our Shraddha or attention falls on that, we will escape. We will escape from this. So, there is nothing else to become otherwise. So because we got caught up in this thing called mind for many, many lifetimes, that is why this becoming something, and in that process, we had to get different bodies one after the other. Many lifetimes. And we got into this different bodies. This is what generates new bodies. When you start developing different plans and targets in your mind, that I want to be like this, I want to be like that, naturally you have to take another body to become like that. This is how another birth comes, another body comes in that way. I want to become this. Just like you see small children, you ask them, what do you want to become when you grow up? Often elders ask children, isn't it? So children will say whatever in his imagination what is big. Sometimes if somebody drives a huge truck, 40-foot truck in the road, he sees that and he sees somebody driving a small car. He says, I want to be like the truck driver. That will be his next imagination, will tell him like that, isn't it? Or if he sees a policeman walking around with this, that black thing on the hand and with two shotguns on either side, and well dressed up, he's walking and give an impressive way, the child thinks, I want to be like a policeman, he'll say. So whatever he sees in his eyes, that's what he wants to become, isn't it? So, and then when he grow up and he gets into the society more, he becomes a little bit more savvy about everything, And he says, oh, I need a lot of money also in this world to live. So he starts making plans. I want to get a job which will give me a lot of money. And in this way, he keeps on changing his desires. Is it not? So I want to become something, become something, become something. And you keep on identifying with that. And once you have become one thing, that becomes his nature. So that means, if you have become something, something you wanted to become, you have become that, you may open one new file for that. And that file is in your karana sharira. It goes there. It goes and stays there. And for example, when he wasn't got married, and he thinks after he gets married, oh, I'm not married. That ahankara comes in there. He feels that I'm not married. That thoughts will come. And then another desire will come, I have to become a father or I have to become a mother. The next becoming. Next becoming is that. First becoming is to get married. Then the next becoming is want to become a father or a mother. In this way it goes. So that means once that desire has come, another new folder is opened inside for to become a father. Another folder. Then you have become a father. Then the son grows up and then he gets a wife and a child. Then you want to become grandfather. Another folder opens. Like this you are constantly opening new folders inside. Different branch files you are opening there all the time. So, this kind of desiring things and opening new files, in Shastram, they call the word Adhyasam. Adhyasam is the word they use for this. Adhyasam. So many files are inside us. So many files are inside us. And you can see yourself, if you look in your own mind and to your body, you will see this, that all these files have opened because of desires inside. You open new files and it is a big disease to become something. Where did that come from? That is what Krishna is saying there. Trishna Sanga Samulbhavam. It comes from Trishna. Trishna is the cause behind it. Trishna is the cause behind it. So, I want to become... So from one desire, another desire comes. And this desiring and becoming are always together. Desiring and becoming are always together. So, and all this is done to become perfect. Because you are feeling imperfection inside. That is why this is coming from. Accordingly, the mind starts moving along with that. And mind is also searching after some perfection. But this movement inside, what is happening in all of us, that is called the mind. When we have this desire, Trishna, and from that Trishna or desire, a movement happens in us. And that is what is called the mind. And that from inside and from the inside the mind, what it is doing is, that mind, because that desire is strong, it tries to become that and is seeing if that is satisfying me. This is what the mind does. You can see many things when we want to become something in this world. What the mind does is, mind try to develop that inside, that strong thought inside, try to become that and try to see if it is making me happy. If it is making me happy. But when after many times, you start realizing that it's all useless. It's all useless. Therefore, that is why Vedantam calls it as marumarichika, mirage. Mirage it is called. When you think that there is water there, you run all the way there, there is no water there. Similarly, you wanted to become so many things in this world. President, Prime Minister, Doctor, Engineer, this, that and so many other things. And you became all that. And in the highest position also, you got the big businessman, chief executive, whatever it may be. And ultimately you have understood that there is nothing in all these things. There's nothing in all these things. The water what you are looking for was not there. So this one principle is what Buddha has spoken about very strongly. This Trishna. Trishna Sangha Samalbhavam. Alexander also spoke the same thing, isn't it? Because Alexander was very powerful. And even him, at the last moment, he had no peace. Because he thought when he started his invasion, that he's going to become happy by invading the whole world. That was in his mind working at that time. And he started from there, he became the emperor, and still didn't happen. And at the same time, when he was leaving his body, he said that when you are taking me in my procession, to the funeral procession, leave both my hands wide open, he said. And you should take it that way, because here is Alexander, who has come to invade the whole world, but while leaving this world, he didn't take anything with him. Let the world understand that, at least let them learn this from me, he said. And Shunya, so that is that what Krishna is saying here. What I'm saying is, all this is the disaster what this Rajogunam will create in us. Rajogunam has such drastic consequences. You don't know where it will end up. Big, big people, Hitler, Mussolini, and so many big personalities. What was prompting them to do what they did? This man, this one force in them. Any big politician you take, this is what is driving them in their life to do things. Even the old 80 and 90 people are sometimes feeling that desire to become something in this world or stay in their position. You can see this always. And that is what Krishna is saying here, Rajogunam. But intelligent person like Mujukunda, what did he say to Krishna? If you look at Mujukunda's prayers, if you remember what we spoke about there, that 51st chapter, that is Mujukunda's prayers beauty. He became more than any of these people, isn't it? Emperor of the whole creation, he says to Krishna. Mujukunda says there, my life was a waste of time. Because to come to that understanding, that life was a waste of time, it requires Krishna's grace. Otherwise he won't never come to realize it. That life was a waste of time. So Mujukunda says to Krishna that, he says, my whole life was, if you look into that verse, that is in the, yeah, 47th verse in the 51st chapter, 10th canto. Ladhva jano durlabhamatramanusham kadanjil avyangam ayatnadho anakha padaravindam napajatyasan madir grihandakube patito yatha pashu. This is Mujukunda's words. Mujukunda is saying here, I got this human form of body by your grace. Katanjil avyangam ayatmatho anagham. That this body's glory is this, that it has come in a perfect state. It could have done something. This body could have been used for some purpose. And pada aravindam na bhajati asanmadev. But instead of taking to Krishna consciousness and self-realization, grihandakube padito yatha pashu, like an animal, I fell into this life of andhakubam. Andhakubam means blind well, of darkness of family life and also into my royal family life, in other words. Grihandakube padito yatha pashu. Like an animal which has fallen into the dark well, I have fallen into that without caring for the higher goal I could have achieved in this life. I didn't give any importance to it. That is what he is saying there. So, you can see here, Mujukunda says to him that my life was a waste of time. Mujukunda is saying this. He said that katanjit durlavamat kata pada krithanda kube padito yatha pashu. Padito yatha pashu. Then, in the next one, mama esha kalo ajida nishpalo gato. All the time what I had in my life, I have wasted, he says. He went to help the demigods to fight the war. Now Mujukunda is saying it was a waste of time. What did I gain from that? Because demigods told him, finally we'll give you some benediction. So Mujukunda asked the demigods that, I want a benediction, can you give us liberation? Demigod said, we can't offer that to you. So, Mujunda realized that I have wasted my time going with them to fight these wars. What did I gain from that? They couldn't offer me what I wanted. Thinking that they will offer me liberation, I went up to help them, but they couldn't. And instead, they said to him, we can't offer you liberation because we ourselves don't have liberation. Well, can we offer you that? So saying that, what they told him was, finally, Mujunda said to him, at least give me an opportunity to sleep, deep sleep. That's what he asked for, a deep sleep, isn't it? So he asked for deep sleep and they said, yeah, we can give you that, he said. Deep sleep you can have. And that's what he took. Didn't ask for it because all other things, what he has already got it. A big kingdom, royal facilities, all comforts, what he can. In fact, even higher than what demigods said, he had a higher standard of life. So that is what he's saying here. So, and not only that, Mujunda was a very intelligent king. He has also taken to the yoga process. So he says to them that I have practiced a yoga system, but I am not feeling any satisfaction still. Various yogas, yoga sadhana I have performed, I am not feeling any satisfaction. And I lived as an emperor and so many other kings were reporting to me and still I am not feeling any satisfaction. And please get me out of these three modes of material nature. He says to him, if you look at that 57th verse, that is what he's saying. To get me out of this 57th verse. Tasmal visarjya ashisham isha sarvato. See how he prayed? Who? Mujunda prayed to Krishna. Rajas tamas sattva guna anubandhanam. My bondage is these three modes of material nature. He says, my bondage is these three modes of material nature. So give me freedom from these three modes of material nature. That is what he was saying to Krishna. So to come to that understanding, he had to go a long way, travel a long way, to know that there is nothing in this world worthwhile chasing after. First realization. Even demigods can't help us in this issue, that realization. Ihamutrabhya bhoga viragam, which means no desires in this world, no desire even to go to heavenly planet cells to enjoy there itself. To such an extent, Vairagyam has come to Mujunda. That is why he is saying like this. Only in that state, we won't ask Krishna, Krishna give us freedom from three modes of material nature. Would we say like that? Why? We won't, because we have a lot of plans here, we have a lot of plans in the next planets also. It's after that we are talking about spiritual life. So our understanding, our awareness is so poor. That is what the point Krishna is making. That is why Shiva Brahmashi mentions this specifically in Mujunda's prayers. Tasmal visrajya shisham isha sarvato rajastamas sattva guna anubandhanam. That I am bound all sides by these three modes of material nature. Rajastamas sattva guna anubandhanam. Therefore, give me freedom. Niranjanam nirgunam advayam param. Then he says, Tvam nyapti matram purusham vrajamyaham. Nyapti. See that word, nyapti? In other words, Mujunda says to Krishna, my identity, give me back to me. Give me back my identity. What is that? Niranjanam nirgunam advayam param tvam nyapti matram purusham vrajamyaham. That is my identity. Nyapti, pure consciousness is me. And you are that consciousness, give me that back. Niranjanam nirgunam advayam. This is all the explanation of that nyapti. Advayam param advayam tvam nyapti matram purusham vrajamyaham. Take me to that state, self-realized state, he says like this. So one thing in Bhagavadam is, when you look in Bhagavadam, you will see how jnanis have prayed to Krishna, how devotees have prayed to Krishna. There will be slight differences in their way. Mujunda is more of a jnani than a devotee in that sense. Vritrasura was more of a devotee. So you will see that way he prays, Vritrasura's prayers. So everywhere you will find in the Bhagavadam that although according to their samskaram, jnana samskaram or bhakti samskaram, they will ask from Krishna what they want. Is it not? That you will see in these verses. Tasmal visrajya shisham isha sarvato rajastama sattva guna anubandhana
നിരഞ്ജനം നിർഗുണമദ്വയം പരം ത്വാം യത്തിമാത്രം പുരുഷം പ്രജാമ്യഹം പുരുഷം പ്രജാമ്യഹം സേസ് ലൈക് ദാറ്റ് മുജുമുദാസ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഹി സേസ് ടു ഹിം ഐ ഹാവ് ഗിവൺ അപ് ഓൾ മൈ ഡിസയേഴ്സ് മുജുമുദ ക്യാൻ സേ ദിസ് ഓണസ്റ്റ്ലി ടു കൃഷ്ണ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ഹാവ് ഗിവൺ അപ് ഓൾ മൈ ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ക്യാൻ ബി എനി വൺ ഓഫ് എസ് സേ ടു കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഐ ഹാവ് നോ ഡിസയർ എനി മോർ to say this. Krishna will smile if he say this to him. So what Mujunda says here, if I have any desire inside, then what will happen is that desire will connect me with these three modes, one of them, either sattvagunam or rajagunam or tamogunam. Therefore rajas samas sattva ശിഷാനുബന്ധനം ഇസൈസിയ ഇസ്നിറ്റ് സോ ആശിഷ സർവാഹ വിസൃജ്യ തെക്ത സോ ആൻഡ് ദെയർഫോർ ഹി സറണ്ടേഴ്സ് മുജുകുന്ദ സറണ്ടേഴ്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ നിർഗുണം നിർഗുണം മീൻസ് നോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ഡെസിഗ്നേഷൻ വൺ ഹു ഹാസ് നോ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് നേച്ചർ പ്രസൻറ്റ് ഇൻ ഹിം നിർഗുണം ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഹു ഇസ് നെവർ ടച്ച്ഡ് ബൈ ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ സത്വം രജസ തമസ് നിരഞ്ജനം നിർഗുണം അദ്വയം ഫലം And Tvam Yapti Matram, what it means is, you are only pure consciousness, and Purusham Vrajamyaham, I surrender to him, saying that he, Mujukunda surrendered. So, what we have to understand from that is, these three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, they are always connected with your desires inside. According to your desires, these three modes will be present inside. These three modes will be present inside. They are connected together. Modes of nature and the desires. This is the reason we say that nice to practice every day just being quiet for some time. So that these desires won't keep coming up all the time. You shouldn't do anything voluntarily. Voluntarily not to do anything, but just being quiet. Just being quiet for some time. Let the desires come in the mind, because if you know that all these desires are coming in the prakriti, it is in the material nature, it's not coming in us, isn't it? As long as we don't desire, let the mind desire things like that. But mind will desire, that you can't avoid. Doesn't matter, because desire is coming in the prakriti. It is not coming in the purusha. Voluntarily, as long as you can sit without fulfilling desires, it is the best. That is why, because whole life is nothing but desire. You are running after desires to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this. One after the other, fulfilling desires becomes our normal business, isn't it? So, for a certain period of time, if you withdraw from that business and stay quiet, desires will still come. You will see a big difference, impact of that within you. How it changes your own shanti, it brings it in. To learn how to sit without desiring. Let the desire come, but always take conscious of note of this, that desire is happening in the prakriti, not in you. It's happening in the prakriti, it is happening. So, and at least for that certain short period of time, you can come out of prakriti when you are sitting quiet without doing anything. So that is the important point. I mentioned this also before. Arunagirinatha's story in Thiruvannamalai, what happened with him was that he was a complete materialist before he became a devotee. Complete total materialist. And you can't fall down more than that. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Abhijayat Sudurachara, isn't it? Durachari means one who has gone in the wrong path. Sudurachara means totally fallen. He was like that. Sudurachara. Similarly, such a Durachari he was, and he got very sick at the end. And he knew that he is going to die soon. He got so ill with various problems in his health and other things, mainly due to his bad lifestyle, indulgence in various things.
But somehow or the other, due to his purva samskaram, like it happened to Bharata, Janabharata, isn't it? Purva samskaram, that is. Due to that, purva samskaram was inside, so therefore he decided that that famous towers in front of the temple, eastern towers, he went into the very top of that, and from there he decided to give up his body. He didn't want to live anymore. It has come to that state. You can imagine that. And to get there, you have to climb a lot of stairs together. Somebody managed to pull himself up there. You can imagine, you think that the nature, mind, how it should be like that to go and do this on the very top of the tower to jump and kill himself in that way. So he decided to jump from there, and he fell from there, fell on the ground, and for some time he had no consciousness. He had no consciousness. And at that time, while falling, nobody noticed this. Subramanyam, he chanted Subramanya's name and jumped from there. Subramanya caught him from the ground and gave him shelter. And that's why if you enter into the temple on the left hand side, where he jumped and where Subramanya protected him, there Subramanya's installed deity and the big temple there you can see within the temple. Sri Parvati and Shiva is the main deities, but in the side you will see Subramanya temple built there for memory of this famous personality. And you will see a number of paintings there about Aryanagiri Nagar, his life and what all he did in his life and all kinds of things. Finally going up to the top of the tower to jump from there. And when he jumped from there, how he was protected from there. So something must have been there in his life that he was protected in that way. So he came and Subramanya instructed him. Subramanya is the four Kumaras, isn't it? Subramanyam is Sanat Kumara Maharshi. Four Kumaras, another incarnation is Subramanya. Subramanyam is Shiva's son, also Krishna's son, as Samba, Jambavati's son, Samba. That is Subramanya. So here he mentions there, then afterwards Aryanagiri Nadar became a famous poet, saintly poet, and he sang many songs about that, and he says there that I was such a degraded person and there was no atonement for any of the things what I have done. And he says here, what was the instruction given to him by Subramanyam? Subramanya told him just to sit quiet, not to have any thought waves coming up inside. Be peaceful and stay quiet like that. So 12 years he sat in that state where he fell. And so that means what is actually happening is, in Shastram they call it a sambandha vichedam. That means normally we are very much connected with the Prakriti, material nature, isn't it? All the time, because the mind is interacting with the Prakriti, we are in constant association with the Prakriti. Mind is part of the Prakriti. So mind is connected with Prakriti all the time. If you break that connection forcefully by sitting quiet, that is what it does. What it does is that when you have connection with Prakriti, all the faults of the Prakriti will be there in you. Prakriti has a lot of faults, is it not? Like all these desires, envy, pride, all this is coming from the Prakriti. They are in you because of your constant association with the Prakriti. But if you break that connection forcefully and sit quiet for some time in a day, you could chant the holy name, but you could sit quietly without doing anything. What actually is happening is that you are staying away from the Prakriti for some time. And divine nature will build in a person. That chapter is going to come later in the Bhagavad Gita. Divine and the demonic nature. So divine nature will build up in a person if you remain aloof from the Prakriti, by breaking away from the Prakriti. And forcefully breaking away from the Prakriti is this, just to sit quiet. Just to sit quiet. And there are several realized souls even say that sometimes even some severe diseases can go away if you develop this habit of moving away from the Prakriti. Because we are constantly interacting with the Prakriti whole day and night, you become a part of the Prakriti. But if you forcefully separate from the Prakriti yourself, then naturally your own nature will start slowly building up. And so not only that, your defects in your own nature will go, but even problems within the body will go. Problems with the body will go, because that is a kind of sharanagari. This surrender it is. That means withdrawing from the world, practically. Withdrawing from the world. That is what it's all about. How to withdraw from the world. And that is our biggest problem also. Isn't it? So we'll have a short break.
चेदो दर्पणमर्जनं वामहादावाद्विदुर्वापणं श्रेयर्कैरमचङ्क्रया विदरणं विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दं बुद्धिवर्धनं प्रतिपदं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुखनं परं श्रेयदे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकाय बहुधाय सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि नागे विना स्मरणेन काल ैराजशन्दरकृपा भगवान् नमामि दुर्दैव वीदृशमिहाजनिमानुरागाःरमी सहिष्णुना अमान्यामानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरिम् नधनं न सुन्दरीं कपिलां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदात् भक्तिरहे दुगित्वयि ैतरुजकिङ्करम् परितामामृषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूळी सदृशम् विचिन्तयाशुधारयावदनम् गद्गदग्धया गिरा पुनजयमृजिनम् कदाभूतमन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति विवाहितम् निवेशेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायम् शून्यायितम् जगत् सर्वम् गोविन्दगृहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा भद्रतां विनष्टुम् अदर्शनां महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदता विनमदौ मन्त्राणनाथा स्नेहमनाधरा
सो रजो रागात्मकं विद्धि All these verses are with a lot of thoughts behind it. You have to see the impact of that in our life. Only then you will enjoy these verses. That how these verses are actually explaining our life in this world, isn't it? Our life in this world is all these verses. Rajo ragalpagam vidhi, trishna sangha samulbhavam, tam nibadhani kaunteya. Karma Sangena Dehina. See, when Krishna says, he mentions it in a few short words. He puts the message through and leaves it there. It's only when you read the Bhashyam commentary on these things, you see the depth of those verses, how deep subject this is. It involves us throughout our life and in all our thoughts, all our activities. It says here that Rajo Ragalpagam Ranjanat रागोवैरिगादिवत् रागात्मकं विद्धि जानीहि तृष्णासङ्गसमुल्भवम् तृष्णा अप्राप्त अभिलाषः आसङ्गः प्राप्ते विषये मनसः प्रीतिलक्षणाः संश्लेषणाः तृष्णा असङ्गयोः समुद्भवं तृष्णासङ्गसमुद्भवम् सो रजोगुणम् इस् रागात्मकम् दाट् इफ् यु रिमेम्बर् इट् इस् गुड् दाट् रागात्मकं मीन्स् अटाच्मेण्ट् अटाच्मेण्ट् इस् रजोगुणम् रजोगुणम् इट् सेल्फ् इस् अटाच्मेण्ट् एण्ड् And also, Rajo Rangatmagam Vidhi. And other aspect of that is Trishna Sangha Samvanbhava. Desires are coming. Where is it coming from? From this Rajogunam. Rajogunam is the one which is causing all the problems in life. This, what when we have no Shanti here, the only reason is Rajogunam in us. Rajogunam is causing that problem. Rajo Rangatmagam is here. That one thing is this ragalpagam. Ragalpagam means this attachment. And second thing is Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. All kinds of desires that's generated inside. And Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Tan nibadhnadi tad rajaha kaundeya karma sangena drishta adrishteshu karmasu sanjanam talparada karma sangaha tena nibadhnadi rajo dehinam. Krishna is saying here that this rajogunam, what it does is, Karmasangam. Karmasangam. That's what it does. Which means what? Which means that you have attachment and you have these desires. These two things connects you so closely and compels from inside, that powerful force propels from inside to engage in karma. Because earlier this question came. Where do we get? That's why Arjuna asked that question, isn't it? Avichandabhi Varshneya, he says there. Avichandabhi, where is it coming from? Krishna is saying there, isn't it? That is coming from this Rajoguna. Keep all these things in your head. When you are feeling desiring to be execute big projects in this world, if this thought comes, it may help at that moment. You won't go and jump into something without thinking that this is where it's coming from. And that is not favorable for spiritual life. This is, you must understand. When we see big people doing big things, we start thinking, oh, they are doing amazing service to Krishna. Actually, it is not. Krishna is not looking for that. Krishna wants you to be in Sattvaguna. Not in, you know. But even Prabhupada said this, I have created all these big projects for my big men, he said. Because he knew these big men, they need some big projects. That is their vasana inside. So, therefore, big projects necessary. Otherwise, they can't have any peace inside. So he said, I created all these big projects for that purpose, he said. That is again an explanation to this verse, Rajo Ragatmaga Vidhi. And when they say, they will say, oh, we have to do this to save the world, we have to do this to make everybody Krishna conscious and all that. That's another side of it. The truth is this, Rajo Ragatmaga Vidhi, Krishna Sangha Samul Bhavam. And because of that, what has happened to them? Karma Sangha. Karma Sangha has come. And what the result of that is, because karma is executed with attachment, which you can very well see. Well, that is a whole discussion now. Now, these things when you discuss openly, people get upset about it. People are not open for that discussion. Like, there is always this question. I'm just giving one example. That people are busy, some leaders also in the society, building big projects, big this thing. Projects are not in the name of ISKCON. Projects are in their individual names. It's created. What does that indicate? It says that very strong attachment is there. Otherwise it will not be done like that. Is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying. Tejo Ragal Magam Vidhi. That means this project was born out of Ragam. Ragam. It was born. Particular project was born out of Ragam. Otherwise it won't be like that. And that is what you find in all spiritual movements also, everywhere. That acquisition of power, acquisition of authority, control. Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi. Is there Rajogunam is pushing them in that direction to get that authority, that power, that control over others, control over money, control over so many other things. Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Krishna is saying that that is coming from Trishna, desires inside. He is not free from Rajogunam. And what will happen? Karma Sangena Dehinam. Krishna is saying he will be bound by that karma. He is not liberated. He is not acting on a liberated state. He is acting on a completely bound state. So his karma will bind him more. And if he is teaching somebody else to do the same thing, he will also be bound in the same way. Karma, that is the important point. That is why we shouldn't jump into spiritual life without knowing what Krishna is saying. We should do things with full understanding what Krishna has to say about it. The Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi, Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam, Tam Nibhadhanadi Kauntaya. Nibhadhanadi means he will be bound very strongly with that. Karma Sangena Dehinam. Due to his connection with the karma. Karma itself is bondage. Very fact that karma itself is bondage. Isn't it? Because you see in the earlier verse, he said about Sattvaguna, what did he say? Satya Sattva Nirmalatwal Prakashakam Anamayam. Due to its purity, it will not bind you. That's the beauty of the Sattvagunam. But the knowledge of Sattvagunam will bind you. Their knowledge will bind you. Here karma will bind you. That is the difference. But it is bondage still. Both are bondage. There, the feeling of I got the knowledge, that will bind you. Here, the karma will bind you. Karma will. So all these important things in the Bhagavad Gita, so important they are to know. Because this chapter, because you can see, when Mujukunda prayed to Krishna, he says, Rajas Samastasya Shishanu Bandhanam. He says, I want freedom from this bondage, or the bondage of goodness, passion and ignorance. I want the freedom from that. Very rarely people pray like that, isn't it? Tvam yakti matram purusham prajamyaham, he says. This is the elevated state of a devotee's prayer, elevated jnani's prayers. They pray properly to Krishna. Because they are talking to Krishna through Shastram, not from their mind. Based on Shastric knowledge, he is saying to Krishna that, I want freedom from the modes of nature. That is how he put it to Krishna. That is why these studi, Vajugunda studi and all, important in the Bhagavadam. Only if you start going into it and seeing there the right way to deal with Krishna. That also we have to know. To go and ask anything and everything from Krishna, we don't need Shastram for that. Is it not? Shastram is there to teach us how to interact with Krishna. And like Mujukunda did, like Vritrasura and so many, all their prayers they will say, I don't want anything. First thing they will put this to Krishna. I don't want anything. I want this. So Rajasa Samasattva. So Tanibhadnadi Tadrajaha Kaunteya Karma Sangena Drishta Adrishteshu Karmasu Sanjanam. Things what you have seen and what you have not seen, in all those karmam, you will go and jump into it and you will get bound by that. That Rajogunam will bind Dehi, who is inside the body. He will bind him. Karma Sangena Dehinam. Krishna mentions like that. And then we'll go further from there. So here, Krishna say here that So simply what we are practicing is this, that simply by staying quiet, you are it's a kind of surrender to Krishna. What actually happening is that you are So talking about this example of Arunagirinatha, what he has done is that what actually happens when you stay aloof from the Prakriti, from the material nature. Naturally, you are keeping Prakriti away from you. Prakriti's influence on you. It's kept away. Isn't it? So moving away from Prakriti itself is a surrender to Krishna. Moving away from Prakriti. This is a very subtle point, you have to understand this. That moving away from Prakriti itself is surrender to Krishna. You see. So, moving away from Prakriti, if you understand this, it is very helpful. Moving away from Prakriti itself is surrender to Krishna. Do you understand that principle? That means, Prakriti is forcing you to do many things in this world, isn't it? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prakriti is always forcing us to do various things. That is, Krishna is saying that. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyade. The second step is this false ego saying that I am the doer, kartaham iti manyade, ahankara vimudhatma. That comes later. So by moving away from Prakriti, even voluntarily, is a surrender to Krishna. That means you are not accepting the dictation of Prakriti anymore. Let Prakriti create its own disturbance in the mind. But you are not going along with that. That's what you are doing. Prakriti is creating a lot of thought waves inside. And you hand over that mind to Prakriti. And let Prakriti do what it wants to do with the mind. You remain aloof from the mind. This is what staying quiet means. Isn't it? Staying quiet means what? Now, that is where chanting helps. You are chanting the holy name. At least that time, you are not surrendering to Prakriti. You are not surrendering to Prakriti. You are moving away from the Prakriti. So, hand over the mind to Krishna. We say like that, isn't it? So, in other words, you have to think, Krishna, Prakriti, what it means is this, that you are not fiddling with the mind anymore. You are allowing the mind to go, whichever way you want it to go. So, handing over the mind to Krishna, handing over, in Bhakti Margam it is like that. Bhakti Margam, you hand over the mind to Krishna by chanting the holy name, remembering Krishna's pastimes, remembering Krishna's poem, all these things. In Jnana Margam, you hand over the mind to Prakriti. Let Prakriti hand over, but you remain aloof. That means you have made a clear separation between you and the mind. You remain aloof from that. Similarly, Jnana Margam, you hand over the body to Krishna. And you should not think about the body anymore. Hand over yourself to Krishna. And then whatever happens to the body, just accept it. That's what it is. So actually that is surrender means, isn't it? Surrender means actually that you are accepting whatever comes in life to the body or the mind, to accept it as it is. That is surrender. Otherwise it's not surrender. So that time the approach is that saying to Krishna, the body, the mind, including me, is all yours. And you can do whatever you like. And that devotee, such a devotee, and if you have become like that, in a very subtle level, he will break his connection with Prakriti. In a very subtle level, he will break it. In a subtle level, he will break his connection with the Prakriti. And this is what in Shastram they call it as Ishvara Pranidhanam. This is come from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. You see, just like we have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Bhakti Sadhana, 9 processes, isn't it, for Bhakti Sadhana. In Jnana Margam also, they have similar process. In Yoga Margam also, they have similar processes, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. In there, you will see one thing is called Ishvara Pranidhanam. Ishvara Pranidhanam is this surrender. So, and this surrender itself is self-realization, And it is not an easy thing. Because only when you lose all other hopes in life, only then this will happen. But first you have to lose all other hopes in life. And that is this is what I am saying. All these seminars and courses won't help in spiritual life. It's all a waste of time. Because you will study something like you studied chemistry and physics. And then you will make a note of all the bullet points, and with your marker you will mark this is important, this is important. But nothing has happened to the person who hasn't understood the message yet. Message is this, that only when Sharanagati can only happen when you become to a very hopeless state, like in the case of Aranagirinadar. Aranagirinadar gave up all hopes of living. There was nothing worthwhile for him to live in this world. If it comes to that, there is a possibility. There is some hope at that time. That is what he is saying here. So, that means, as long as you are thinking that there is some way of escaping from the problem, escaping from the difficulty, or if you have a problem, somebody else is going to protect you in this life. That is also there. Because our, generally our faith is in all those things.
isn't it? This is an established fact. Everybody knows bank balance, home, family, relations. These are our shelter in this world. Generally, this is where all our, or in our health, body strength, things like that. So when all these things are there, it will be very difficult for us to take Krishna shelter. It is a known thing. We won't take it. We will say, oh, we have to be Krishna shelter and all that we will say. And it's easy to lecture also on that. But to come to that state is very, very difficult. That means there is some hope somewhere else. And that is why, and as long as it is there, you won't have Sharanagari. Surrender won't happen. Because once you have done Sharanagari, then the mind, body and your subtle body, gross body, nothing is yours after that. If you have properly surrendered, isn't it? Surrendered means you are handing over everything. Not all the bank balance, even we are not willing to hand over bank balance, what to talk about body and the mind. These are the people talking about Sharanagari. So that is not going to work. That system is not going to work. So Krishna's point is this, that Sharanagari comes after you have... Krishna doesn't mention about bank balance or assets or anything like that. He's saying about your own body, he's saying. Body, mind and everything. Because these are more subtle than the gross things, isn't it? So, body, mind and the Karana Sharira, causal body, none of them is words. What to say all these things? And this personality itself, Ahankaram, false ego itself, it's, which is in my another form that is. My own another form is this personality, isn't it? What is personality? Personality is another power that has come out from the Chit Shakti, isn't it? And that is how this Ahankara Shakti came. If you remember in the, when we studied last chapter, you have remember that. That how Satya Ahankaram, Rajas Ahankaram, Tamas Ahankaram, Ahankaram first came from the Mahatattvam. So Ahankaram is Lord Shiva, Rudra, or Balaram's another expansion. So, this Ahankara Shakti is another aspect of that personality. I am ego inside, isn't it? Jiva Bhav, in other words. So, that itself is not mine. Even that is not mine. So for example, one Mahatma said that, I will remain as a servant of Krishna. Servant of Krishna. Or remain as a yandram. Yandram means like a machine. You remember that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Yantrai Rudhani Mahaya. What's that verse beginning? Sarabhudhanam Hrdeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Brahmayan Sarabhudhani Yantrai Rudhani Mahaya. Yandram. So we are Yandram. Krishna is Yandri, operator. We are the machine, Krishna is the operator. Isn't it? So once you have become Yandram or servant, what does that mean? For example, if you become a servant also, say you become a servant of some rich man. And even if you become and you are working for somebody, under someone, and still you will have desires. You will have desires. So, so you got some desire and he says to him, but you can only do anything only if you are Master allows you to do it. Say for example, you are 24 hours in the service of some very wealthy person. Then you want some time to yourself. You want to enjoy, you want to go for a movie or you want to go somewhere else. But you have to ask your permission from that person who is controlling your life. And only if he gives you permission, you can do. But he says, no, you can't go. So you won't go. You'll give up the desire because you want to stay in the service, isn't it? So what has happened now, if you look at it this way, that you can easily understand this. When your desire has come under the desire of your boss or the person for whom you are working, when his desire has overridden, it is overriding your desire. So when he says no, naturally from inside you, your desire goes. Because it was overridden by his desire. His desire is you should stay. Your desire you want to go somewhere. When he so told you, you can't go, you have to stay and do the work. Naturally what will you do? You'll give up that desire, isn't it? That's what first thing you'll do. So, at that time what has happened?
At that stage you can see that your effort to get that desire fulfilled slowly melts away. Slowly melts away. So, in a very subtle level, that abhimana vritti means that ego thought, it has melted off. If any ego thought which develops inside, only if it gets strong, that will bind you with Prakriti. It will connect you with Prakriti. So, just like you can see in that example, that when you had a desire, but some higher powerful thought came, which was from the boss or manager or whoever it is, and when that thought came, this thought melted off. And because this thought, when it melted off, that abhimana vritti means that chitta vritti associated with your ego, that has melted off, and with that the ego also melted along with that. So only when you identify with a thought wave like that, which connects you with the Prakriti, only then that sambandham or relationship will happen. So Krishna, what the point Krishna is making is that every desire in this world, when you surrender to Krishna and gave it to Krishna and offer it to Krishna all the time, if you connect it with that, that jiva will get liberated. Because jiva will lose all its desires in that way. This is the principle behind it. This is only an example to show how it works. That when you are in under the control of somebody who is controlling your life as far as living is concerned, then naturally, because living is important, what has happened? You are willing to give up that desire for the sake of living, maintaining this body, isn't it? You accept that service and you say, continue with it, I'm not bothered about it, okay, I couldn't go, doesn't matter, leave it like that. We'll leave it at that moment. That means you didn't connect with the Prakriti at that time because of his overriding desire or for you to stay and do the work, you could not go along with your desire. That means that abhimana vritti didn't operate in the Prakriti. It withdrew from the Prakriti. Krishna's point is, in a similar way, when all your life is to please Krishna, in every way, if it is operating in that level and with this understanding, Krishna is saying that you will hand over your body, your mind, your intelligence, your ego, everything for Krishna, one after the other, you hand it over to him, that jiva will not have any desires inside. That is the way to get rid of the desires and you will get released. You will get released. There is no desires. Trishna will go. What Krishna uses the word? Trishna sanga samulbhava. Trishna goes away. Trishna also you handed over to Krishna. Trishna also handed over to Krishna. And body handed over to Krishna, mind handed over to Krishna. Then what happened? Very easily you will jump out from this cycle. You will come out of it. And you become a yantra. You become a yantra. But to come to this, you've got to be very careful what Krishna has spoken before. That you should, you cannot do karma mentioned there, yajo ragatmakam vidhi. You cannot have karma which is born out of ragam. That won't help. That karma cannot help. And Trishna sanga samulbham. With ragam and Trishna, if you execute karma, that won't get you out, it will bind you more. Instead, with this way, in a surrendered state, whatever that comes through the body, if you accept it, it's all for Krishna's service, Krishna's happiness. In that way, if you live in this world, Krishna is saying, very easily, you can get out of this desire business. You will get released from everything. So, that is what he is saying here. So in that situation is when you say, Krishna is the operator, you are the machine. And that is that, Ishara Sarvabhudanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtari Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yadrai Rodhani Maya. That stage is at that time. Just like, in that state, what Krishna make you to think, you think in that way. Whatever thoughts are coming through, you know that it is coming from Krishna is making me to think in that way. When Krishna gives you sleep, you will sleep. If you are not getting sleep, Krishna doesn't want me to sleep. That will be the attitude. And when Krishna wake you up, you will wake up. You will wake up. Everything is in the hands of the Prakriti. Nothing is in your hands. And in other words, Bhakti Bhavana. In the Bhakti, that is the Bhakti process. In Bhakti process, when you say, that is how it is spoken. if you talk about in the language of Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita's language, if you say, if you know that everything is done by Prakriti, you can escape through the process of knowledge and the Bhagavad Gita's process. If you know that everything is happening due to Prakriti, you can escape. Everything? Because our topic here is Rajogunam. That is what I am saying. Our topic here is Rajogunam. And Rajogunam's very nature is desire. Is desire. Desire and achieving it. Desire and acquiring it. Desiring and acquiring it constantly. When that comes in us, and when you start identifying with that, and when you get trapped in that, you will not know that it is Prakriti who is doing it. You will not know that. Once the desire comes, and if we start acting based on the desires, when we are operating like that, because you are identified with the desire, that's why you are working for that. That's what Prashant is saying here. Bandhanam has come. Tan nibandhanadi kaundeya karma sangena dehinam. Bondage has already happened. At that time, you will not know what Krishna is saying, that Prakriti is doing it. You won't know it. Remember that verse? Prakriti kriyamanani. You know that verse is spoken on a very higher level. It's not just for seeing the translation of that verse. You must know the stage before that. When is that verse valid? Prakriti kriyamanani. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimodhalma kartaha nitimanyate. Which verse is that? In the fourth of
327.
Can you read the translation?
Spirits who are bewildered by the influence of false ego thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature.
Are actually carried on by the three modes of material nature. So in Bhagavad Gita's language, that is how it is. Bhagavad Gita is saying there that Prakriti kriyamanani, Prakriti is doing everything. That means in Bhagavad Gita's language, Krishna is saying here, if you have come to know that Prakriti is doing everything, you can escape. You can escape from this. But you have to know that. You have to realize it first. But ahankaram won't allow that. Ahankara vimudhalma, what does it do? Kartaham iti manyate. That is the sad aspect of that. The second half is the difficult aspect of that. Kartaham iti manyate. So, Rajogunam, this what it does is, we won't know that Prakriti is doing that. And therefore, what happens? We think we are doing that. And the false ego that is inside me, that becomes false ego in the mode of passion. The ahankaram, false ego inside me, it becomes a false ego in the mode of passion. And it will make me to work rest of the life very hard to achieve what I want. Because that my ego inside, my false ego has identified with Rajogunam. That's what it has done. And I'll start doing various things because of that. So, this Rajogunam example, there's so many examples. Rajogunam is a very interesting topic. You can write a book on Rajogunam. It's such a nice topic to discuss about. So, this Vinoba Bhave, you may have heard about, I don't know whether you heard about Vinoba Bhave. Vinoba Bhave was a great personality who followed Mahatma Gandhi at a very closely with Gandhian path and everything. And he was very much like Mahatma Gandhi, a very great personality, highly spiritual power and knowledge, and very simple, highly austere, lived a very fantastic life, so many followers he had. But as usual, nobody listened. What can you do? He left his body, he went away. He used to say about Bhagavad Gita many, many interesting things like that. He says, when Vinoba Bhave says like this, he said, when Rajoguna comes, he says, the man will go and do all nonsense, he said. Because he will create all kinds of foolish desires. This Rajogunam does, he says. Foolish desires, he says like that. It will create unnatural wants. For example, natural wants means what? You'll see this, how it works. Natural wants means, if you eat something, your hunger will go. Isn't it? Unnatural means what? Means what? I want jalebi, I want rasagulla, and I want a feast. That's an unnatural thing it is. Naturally something, I want some simple food, it will satisfy my needs. No, or they'll say, I want something, new things every time. I can't eat the same thing what I've eaten today, tomorrow, or every day I'll complain, or I have to eat the same thing every day. And so anything, if you take some food, the stomach will be satisfied, hunger will go. And that is a natural want, isn't it? That's a natural want. But when Rajoguna becomes a stronger, or Trishna, what Krishna says, Trishna Sangha Samalu, becomes desire, if it is in the case of food, ordinary food won't be sufficient. You want opulent food. Opulent prasad, what we call it, a sumptuous prasad. Isn't it? It's coming from there. It's Rajoguna it is. But in spiritual life, it's not necessary to be like that. No doubt we will say, then we will say, oh, it's all Krishna's prasadam, we have to make Krishna happy, Radharani is very good cook, so, and all kinds of things, we'll make it out of that. And, okay, it is done just to get people to stay in spiritual life, because at least prasad will keep people in spiritual life, isn't it? Otherwise people will go away. If there is no prasad, Prabhupada said this once, he said, if you don't give them prasad, nobody will be here, he said. Everybody will be gone. He was very shrewd in that sense. He said, he found out this, that at least prasad will keep them. Otherwise, who is interested, he says, in the Atma, in the soul, in the Brahman, in the Jiva, in the Maya and all that. He says, who cares? So, anything is not sufficient then, isn't it? You want jalebi, and to make that jalebi hours and hours in the kitchen, working hard early hours in the morning, making this flour, and then you have to go through so many processes cooking. It takes so much time and so many equipments necessary. And the whole pleasure of that jalebi goes away by the time from here, by the time it gets here, it's gone. It's finished. The little pleasure what you are getting out of that jalebi is finished by the time it gets here. It's gone, isn't it? So, and not only that, after that, a lot of diseases also added to that. Isn't it? And so many other problems. That is what Krishna is saying here. Karma sankhena dehinam vedanavadhi. You have to understand that way. This is only example in case of food. This is one example. Examples like this in everything else also. All other sense gratification also, if you take, it is like this. In sattvagunam, you won't find any of these things. Any of these things you won't find. Because you can see this, that generally, very cultured and learned brahmanas, they don't live like this. Always austerity, always simplicity, always living a life of satisfaction and contentment inside, being satisfied with things. That is the nature of that sattvagunam. If you observe them, you will see this. In them, you will see this satisfied mood all the time. Never looking for anything outside. What is available, being satisfied with that. So, as far as food is concerned, this is how it binds us. You see how food binds us? You will make a desire and then a feast. And in the feast, you work very hard. All that this verse is talking about is there. Is it not? Tanni badnadi kaunthaya. It will bind you. You have no time for chanting. You are busy with jalebi. Making jalebi. And then what is it? The karma. That means karma. You got involved in the karma. And then when sangena dehinam. Karma sangena dehinam. You are bound by that. Karma sangena dehinam badnadi. Then you have to work for that. So, like this, anything else in this world, if you start desiring, then this process will start. So you can see how desire is connected with Rajoguna. That is why Krishna is saying, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan. Isn't it? All kaman must go from inside. For example, if you decide to become a minister. See, in politics I'm saying. If you want to become a minister, you have to stand for the election. And not only that, you have to give a lot of trouble to so many people. To propagate your election propaganda. You have to hire people and use them. You know how to play politics with everybody, isn't it? That you have to use them. offering them all kinds of promises. After, if I get elected, I'll help you to do this, I'll get you the license for starting this business, or so many things like that. Businessmen and politicians is constantly interacting all the time. And then you'd run around the whole country and tell lies to everybody. That's normal with all politics all over the world. It is quite normal that you have to know, you know very well you are telling lies. That, and that lie, will you will tell lies, and by the time the whole issue comes up, you are moved away from there to something else. Always you can catch the politicians, how they make this. So, and then you have to give a lot of lectures to people. So everything is necessary. Even in spiritual world, spiritual life also this can happen. Because in spiritual life, how it happens, this rajoguna, you start desiring the whole world should know me as a spiritual personality. And in my name, so many things should be built. So many things should be built. And many ways propaganda should go on in my name. And this propaganda, all these things, and you are in that process, right or wrong, you won't look anything, you keep seeing anything and everything, and you will do anything what is necessary to get the propagation done. And you will justify it because it's all in the name of Krishna. And that is also a nature of this rajoguna. From rajoguna comes all these things. A lot of things people do like that for the sake of, they are thinking that they are saving the world, or they are thinking that that person is going to be benefited by my telling a lie. And in that way, they will do so many things. So, this is the very nature of rajogunam. Rajogunam takes you away from the path of dharma. And sometimes you will become... So many things people can do. Sometimes people say, we have to liberate Lakshmi from the karmis. We have taken that responsibility. Lakshmi should stay with Narayan, isn't it? Lakshmi belongs to Narayan. Karmis are not supposed to have Lakshmi. Karmi should hand over everything to us. And we will hand over, we'll keep it. But we won't give it to Karmis. Karmis are not allowed because they are Karmis. So we have to liberate Lakshmi from Karmi and to give it to Narayan. We are Narayan's men. So this way, all these foolish, funny ideas comes from our head because of this one thing called Rajogunam in us. Rajogunam in us. So... So this will even come to work in the kitchen. Even the kitchen work, this will permeate. So if rajogunam is predominant, you will see some people when they are in the kitchen, then they will continuously be busy in kitchen, doing so many things. That endless, their project will be constantly. You start wondering, one person has to work so many hours in the kitchen to eat a couple of times in a day. You'll start wondering that, isn't it? So this... All this rajogunam, it comes into all walks of life, whether it's housework, kitchen work, office work. Office also you can see this, some people, how they can be. They can be really, really kill you if you have to work with them. That due to their rajogunam, you have to suffer. Due to temple commander's rajogunam, brahmacharis will have to suffer sometime. Because he is looking for perfection. And his rajogunam is pushing him, saying that this is not a... There is a limit to everything, but they forget that. And it will go to such level, then it becomes... Either you decide to leave the temple or go away somewhere else. So in such situation, this is rajogunam's nature. Whenever we see that rajogunam is operating, we have to learn how to stay away from that rajogunam. How to stay away from that rajogunam. When you see how what happens, when sattvagunam is operating strongly, the way to escape from that sattvagunam is you get good meditation. Otherwise, if you are in the sattvagunam, instead of getting trapped there, that knowing well in sattvagunam, that this sattvagunam is coming, giving happiness, but it is coming from sattvagunam, to know that. But actually, when Krishna's grace is there, that sukham or happiness, what you will experience at that time, it will turn into atma sukham, knowledge of the soul. From knowledge of the soul, another sukham comes. That is the important point. So we have to discuss these three modes very detailed. They are so important because you can see Krishna has spoken this at the end of Bhagavad Gita. That's number one, isn't it? 14th chapter. And he kept one whole chapter for this purpose. This in the 18 chapters for this modes of nature. And modes of nature is very closely linked with self-realization. What we are talking about is escaping the modes of nature is self-realization. So we'll continue tomorrow and we'll have some kirtan. All glory to Shri Prabhupada. All glory to Shri Prabhupada.